space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop. There it is. He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Sometimes when you hear me talk, you might be under the impression that I'm anti-environmentalist. You might be under the impression that I don't care about the planet. I don't care about this earth that we live on. Well, you couldn't be farther from the truth, my friend, but today I'm going to talk about something that's just kind of crazy. It's actually beyond crazy. It's off the scale of crazy. The big climate change ripoff that's going on out here in this world. You know, if you're an environmentalist and you're saying that you want to clean up the planet and you want clean, renewable, alternative energy sources, and you're not outraged, by things that go on in the government. And quite literally should be outraged by things that you personally are doing yourself. I mean, if you're thinking that man-made climate change is real and that you're going to be attributing to the demise of the Earth and all the people of the Earth, then maybe then practicing what you preach might be the best move forward, so to speak. But it's not what we see here in this world. It's not what we see with the politicians and the supposed representation of the governments out there. It's not what we see in the auto industry. It's not what we see in any industry for that matter, especially the electricity industry. I posted a link over there in the Super Chat chat room on ChazizRadio.com for a book review on the climate change delusion and the great ripoff, great electrical ripoff, electricity ripoff. Yeah, because there are other views out there besides the mainstream ones that you're only allowed to hear. Now, if you go out there on YouTube and you look up any video out there that is anything against climate change, you will find a banner ad under there from a very unreputable source called Wikipedia. Now, Wikipedia might be a good source to, you know, kind of get a general idea of what's been done or said before, but as far as, a fair and balanced platform, Wikipedia is by far one of the worst sources of information. And so the only time I use Wikipedia articles is to just put some information out there that other people had looked into. But anyway, you'll find underneath these videos, and anytime you search up, you'll find a banner that says global warming. Global warming is a long-term rise in the average temperature of the Earth's climate system, an aspect of climate change shown by temperature measurements and by multiple effects of the warming. And then you can click on that, and it'll take you, and it'll give you the liberal view of what global warming is all about. But it don't give you the other sides that say that it's not scientifically done properly, or that numbers have been skewed or anything like that. And it don't give you the whole story of what this is all about, how far back it goes, and who started the mess and all that kind of stuff. Now, I would like to see our Earth clean. I would like to see us work in perfect harmony with nature. But getting there via means of robbing and stealing from people under lies, and then having an army of zombies out there running around believing our planet's going to be doomed in 12 years or whatever. If you go back and you listen to the whole entire story of global warming / climate change or climate disruption or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up, then you'll find out that, they missed a lot of deadlines of doomsday. And as far as the weather out there, we've had catastrophic weather since the history of time began. And it's going to continue to do that. And in some incidents, it's actually going to be aggravated by something that man is doing, but not by the average Joe driving their SUV or their cars or even factories for that matter. When a volcano can spew up tons more crud in the fraction of a minute or so that, basically dwarfs anything that you'd be driving your cars for years or whatever, that's not factored in. Nothing natural is actually factored in. No natural causes are factored in because it doesn't sell the drama. It doesn't sell the bogus science and the fear-mongering that allows these crooks, these criminals, to continue to steal from the people of the world. Keep on tacking in regulations after regulations that maybe you might be a criminal just for saying you don't believe in climate change. You could be thrown in jail one day. And so this needs to be nipped in the bud here in our time right now, because otherwise our children are going to suffer underneath a system that is probably going to be 100 or 1,000 times worse than what we are. This ridiculousness out here, it just blows my doors off. So I'm going to play a little podcast here. I'm actually going to play a couple of different things. One a little more serious than the other, and one probably lighten the mood up a little bit. Because I don't call this mad science for nothing. I don't just get on here and start ranting and standing on a soapbox and saying all the things that I say for nothing. They said they had problems. I stepped forward to assist in those problems. Found out when I stepped forward to assist in those problems, not only are there people who will rip you off, there are people who will lie to you, they'll troll you, they'll do everything they can to discourage you, and you got a bunch of doomers and gloomers that run around saying, no, oh, we're going to die, there's nothing we can do to fix it. And I'm sitting here going crazy. I'm like, what the heck you mean we're going to die? We ain't going to die. And we do have every solution necessary to resolve it. But if you're not willing to listen, and if the governments aren't willing to take real action, they gave $500 million to a UN climate change fund. I want to know where that money's going. I want to know what's going to come out of that. Whose pocket's going to line? This is what I want to know. Because it was perpetrated under a lie to begin with, but it's still, where's the results? Where are the prototypes of the clean, renewable, alternative energy research? Where are they? And how many times has this payment been made? Somebody tell me that. With $500 million, I personally could build everything that I've been saying for years. I could prove it. And that would give me the funding to hire the skill set necessary and the tools necessary to resolve everything. But here we are, you know. But I'm going to play this podcast here. I know there's going to be some folks out there that don't like anything to do with, you know, debunking climate change or anything like that. But look, honestly, I don't care anymore. You know, if you're getting frustrated because I'm telling the truth, then you might as well not even pay attention to begin with. Not even listen. Because I want to clean this planet up. I want to clean this earth. I want to fix the problems. I want nobody to be starving to death and dying of thirst and being sick and homeless. But we can resolve all these. We have every single piece of the puzzle necessary to resolve all these. But if nobody's willing to pay attention, then we're going to just continue to keep on living under the umbrella of the lie. The doom and gloom. We're all going to die because of this and that. Okay, well, if we're all going to die because of this and that, why even bother then? Why are you complaining? You might as well just live out the rest of your life happily ever after. And, you know, enjoy what you can, because you say 12 years from now, we're doomed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for being here to testify today. I just want to follow up on a little bit of what Senator Barrasso was talking about. Did Congress approve the Green Climate Fund?
Senator, as I said previously, we reviewed with our lawyers the authorities we had and had made provided resources in accordance with the authorities to meet what.
Right, but the fund itself, I mean, it went into an account. Did Congress approve that account that it went into?
That we have the authorities that Congress provided us to make that payment.
But did Congress approve it?
Did Congress
the
approve
account, the
what?
Green Climate
they've
Fund.
Passed an appropriations bill that we've reviewed the authorities of and have used to make this payment.
Well, if I understand how this works, money came out of somewhere, and where did it come from?
The funding is from the Economic Support Fund accounts.
Which specific line items?
there's a, the fund is a, the way the account works.
And the Economic Support Fund does what?
It supports programming in lots of different countries to address a lot of different issues related to economic growth and opportunity.
So we took money out of there, $500 million. All that money came from that program?
Correct.
That,
it's a very large account.
You put it into
some of which is directed toward countries and programs, and others that the department has the authority to allocate as it sees fit.
And so the department sees that allocation as it sees fit to put it into a green climate fund that Congress did not approve.
Congress provided us with the authority to make this payment.
But let's be clear, Congress never approved a green climate fund, correct?
We proposed a budget that included support for the green climate fund. We've reviewed our
authorities. Has that budget been approved?
In FY16,
has the president's budget been approved?
We received an appropriations bill for FY16, and from those resources, reviewing our authorities, have determined we could make this contribution, which we have done.
But the Green Climate Fund itself, now just yes or no, I mean, this is a pretty simple answer. Was it approved by Congress?
Did Congress authorize the Green Climate Fund? No, it's not a...
So you did not authorize, so how then,
because
if Congress did not authorize the Green Climate Fund, as you just said, how can $500 million go to it? Did you notify Congress of this?
The payment that we made did not require a congressional notification in the traditional way that you would notify funds through an appropriations process. Notifications have been made.
Why would it not require...
The authority didn't require it. And Senator, we'd be pleased to provide to you and other members of this committee the legal analysis and rationale for how we did this.
Of the $54 billion that the State Department has received FY 2016, can all of that money be just reprogrammed by lawyers at the department?
The actual appropriation is $50 billion, not 54, but no, it can't.
Sorry, so it's 54.59 is the actual FY16 according to the documents we have from committee.
Okay. So, no. There are certain accounts and provisions that have to be notified to Congress.
Okay, so the Green Climate Fund was not authorized by Congress. No notification was given to Congress of this. When were you planning on notifying Congress of this?
Senator, as I said, we've reviewed the authority and the process under which we can do it, and our lawyers and we have determined that we had the ability to do it, and I pledge to you and to other members, we're happy to provide that legal analysis and the additional details.
So nothing is overfunded, you stated in your answer to Senator Brasso, but now you would then testify, I guess, with $500 million gone. Is the account that you just mentioned now underfunded?
Senator, I wouldn't say it's underfunded. We proposed a budget that reflected the contribution to the Green Climate Fund. So as we allocated resources and planned for FY16, and we submitted a budget that actually we received an appropriation above. And so, no, nothing's overfunded, and we...
So nothing's overfunded, nothing's underfunded now. Is that what you're saying?
Of course we have to make trade-offs in our budget all the time. Are we making them because $500 million worth of...
So let me just ask you this, though. I mean, because I think this is the heart of the distrust between the executive branch and the legislative branch. And I'd say this no matter who's in the administration. I don't care what party they're in. The challenge is we have a constitution that makes it very clear that says appropriations are carried out by the legislative branch. And when you sit here before the American people and say that the Green Climate Fund was never approved by Congress and yet $500 million just went to it, I don't think that lawyers can replace the Constitution outside of the lawyers don't, they don't replace the constitutional requirements that Congress approved these funds, this appropriation.
So, the agencies in charge of funding can just kind of send it wherever they want. $500 million, think about that for a second. What could you actually have done with $500 million? So, that type of fund could actually get actual physical working prototypes of different devices that are, clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. And yet, here we are, years after this crazy lie started, we're still hearing the same thing. The government's throwing more money down the toilet when there are real-time solutions available to make these engines and electric motors and equipment that we use so incredibly efficient that they would it wouldn't even be an issue. it never was an issue to begin with, but I'm sure you can understand what I'm trying to say here. It's frustrating to me because as hard as I work with what I've got to work with, and if I can do what I do on a small scale, imagine what you could do on a large scale. I mean, in a real lab setting, in a real shop with all the equipment, $500 million. You realize how much equipment that you could buy for $500 million? And who's held accountable for this money after they just give it? There you go. Give it to the UN Climate Fund. Who's responsible for that? Who's responsible for showing what they did with that money? Is it going out there to pad politicians' pockets? Is it going into the pockets of the bankers? Because I don't see any results. And I never see any results. You never see any results out of this entire deal. All you continue to hear is that we're doomed. We're doomed. Give us more money. We're doomed. There's people starving in the world. Give us more money. There's people homeless. Give us more money. The animals are suffering. Give us more money. This is how they do. They've been doing this charitable thing for so long. If it's an honest charity out there, I'll support it. But if you got millions and millions and millions of dollars pushing towards all these supposed charitable organizations, and you still to this day have somebody starving in this world, then you're just stealing from people. Flat out. And it's aggravating. It's beyond aggravating. Because any of the dissenting views towards this particular issue, they're not allowed. Do you even have politicians trying to say they want to throw you in jail for not wanting to believe or for talking out against it? You have social media networks like YouTube and Twitter and Google and Facebook, real time, censoring people who dissent, who don't believe that the doggone science is settled. The science ain't settled. The debate hasn't even started, and yet they've already said, yeah, we won. Yeah, it must be nice to be able to do that. Go and start a controversy and then say, oh, well, I won. What? We haven't even started talking yet. How'd you win? We haven't even looked at the facts. How'd you win? Governments can spray chemicals in the air, and they can get by with it. You try that. See if it works for you. These politicians that get by with everything under the sun, and even in Hollywood, you see it all the time. You can go out and commit all kinds of terrible crimes. If you got enough money to buy your way out of it, then you're fine. We can't buy your way out of climate change. Can't buy your way out of global warming. You can't buy your way out of homelessness. You can't buy your way out of sickness. You can't buy your way out of starvation. And the proof of that, the proof is in the pudding, that there is no pudding, because every doggone time you send your donations to all these supposed charities, there's still people in this world hungry. And they're little, oh, well, it's ongoing. It's like, it's so bad. We got to have more money. Well, what you do? Take the whole dollar, or did you take a portion of that dollar and send a tiny little smidgen over there so you could have your fancy offices and cars and all that kind of stuff? You didn't do nothing. You didn't fix nothing. You just stole from the people. It's like these governments are doing. These people didn't even have the authorization from Congress to give that $5 million away to nobody. And yet they did it anyway. So it's not the entire government per se. It's the corrupt criminal politicians that are embedded in our system that are milking the system for every doggone last red cent that they can get. It's the people out there trying like hell to bring the country down. Trying to do whatever it is that they can to destabilize America. And other nations, as far as that goes. But you can't speak up about it. Otherwise, you're a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut. Well, I'm saying, show me the money. Show me $500 million and I will show you results. $500 million could build everything that I've been talking about and then some, and be able to have some change left over to give back to the government. And I say, people wonder why. Wonder why I call it mad science. Let me give you a general idea why I call it mad science. Listen to this.
All right, we're going to have a second round, and then the hearing will conclude. I want to start, Dr. Curry. When Senator Markey was haranguing you, he said that you had no response to his assertion that 2014 was the hottest year on record. Am I correct that NASA stated that assertion, that 2014 was the hottest year on record, that they had a 38% level of confidence in that, which means that 62%, or substantially more likely than not, 2014 was not the hottest year on record? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, basically 2014 was, according to the NASA and NOAA data sets, in a statistical tie with 2010 and 2005. The UK data set, which has, I think, more credible error bars on their data set, found that it was in the top 10 warmest years. They couldn't fine-tune it any more than that, given the great uncertainties in the reconstruction of global surface temperature data. And I think the uncertainty levels are really too low on all of those estimates, in my opinion.
And indeed, NOAA included 2014, 2010, 2005, 2013, and 1998, five different years, as potentially being tied for being the warmest.
Correct.
The last hearing I chaired, when Mr. Mayer, who should have been sitting next to you, testified, he told the subcommittee, quote, "Our planet is cooking and heating up and warming." Does the evidence and data we've been discussing support the assertion that the planet is cooking?
Not cooking, no.
And indeed, another reference was made by Senator Markey to the measurements. Now, I would note, none of the Democratic senators who participated in a press conference earlier today saying, "How dare you ask the data," not a single Democratic senator addressed the satellite data. Not a single Democratic senator addressed the fact that for 18 years there has been no significant warming recorded. Because I suppose it is contrary to their computer model and to their political desire to massively increase government control of the economy and impose trillions of dollars of cost on people who can't afford it. But let's turn to the different measurements, not the satellite data, and if we can put up the next two charts. These next two charts are from the United States Historical Climate Network. These are the measurements of the thermometers that are measuring climate change. And these in particular record the adjustments that NOAA has done to the climate data. Chart on the left, you can see that between 1900 and 1960, NOAA made relatively few adjustments, and they were relatively minor. And then we see that for the more recent years, they've been adjusting them upwards. And the adjustments consistently are upwards. They're never adjusting downward. Now, the chart on the right likewise looks at the raw numbers are on the top. The raw numbers demonstrate a fair degree of uniformity. But the adjusted numbers, the old temperatures are cooler and the new temperatures are warmer.
Well, there's a number of different groups who do global temperature data sets, and they have different methods for dealing with spatial representativeness, missing data, changes in temperature, measuring instrumentation, adjusting for the time of day, all sorts of different adjustments that they make. And the adjustments, as you can see, are rather huge. Okay, so should we, to me, the error bars should really be much bigger if they're making such large adjustments. So we really don't know too much about what's going on in terms of, you know, it's a great deal of uncertainty. Yes, I do believe that we've overall been warming, but we've been warming for 200, maybe even 400 years. Okay, and that's not caused by humans. Okay, there's natural variability involved. And this is exactly what has not been sorted out. Now, the ocean temperature is the current focus of controversy. I mean, the land data sets are sort of starting to agree, but there's a great deal of controversy and uncertainty right now in the treatment of the ocean temperatures. And that has not been sorted out. And so especially looking, you know, in the recent period, if we're trying to sort out what's going on with the hiatus or the pause, we need to look at the satellite data. I mean, this is the best data that we have, and it's global. And we need to sort out the differences between the satellite and the surface observations. And then there's the numerical weather prediction, reanalysis, data assimilation systems that give us a global view. And we haven't been really using that for climate purposes, and I think we need to. So the work is just starting in terms of trying to sort this out.
Now,
and
Dr. You said something very important there, and that you said the satellite data are the best data we have. Can you explain as a scientist why that's the case?
Well, it's global coverage. It's not a simple measurement. You have to do, you know, a retrieval and weighting functions, and it's a complex problem. But it's reasonably well calibrated and consistent over the last 30-ish years.
And not a single Democratic senator had any response to the satellite data that demonstrates their entire theory of global warming for 18 years hasn't been happening.
Yeah, I mean, we need to sort this out rather than ignore it. I mean, this is what I'm concerned about.
And Mr. Stein, you look like you want to make a comment.
Yeah,
I want to ask a question on this because you also are quite familiar with the cooking of the books,
right,
of the hockey stick, and indeed, Dr.
Yeah.
Curry, you mentioned ClimateGate and the scientists receiving a whole lot of funding to conclude global warming was occurring and then adjusting their results to reflect that. I would note if you systematically adjust the numbers upwards for more recent temperatures, wouldn't that by definition produce a data set that proves your global warming theory is correct? And the more you add, the more warming you can find, and it just, you don't have to actually bother looking at what the thermometer says. You just add whatever number you want.
No, that's what's fascinating about this. Could you just tell me the left-hand date on your chart, Senator? What is it? I can't quite see it from
on the left.
On the right-hand chart of the blue and red line, what's the...
In both of them, it's 1900, isn't it?
1900. So you look at the blue line, you look at the red line. This is the adjustment of figures that is going on now.
Right.
What has happened since the global warming pause is that the public does not trust the alarmist establishment to tell them what the climate will be like in the year 2050. What that chart shows is why the public is moving to a new position now where it doesn't even trust these federal agencies to tell them what the climate was like in 1950 or 1920 or 1900. And that's interesting. If these adjustments are merited, if an adjustment in the official recorded observed temperature, because Gavin Schmidt at NASA wasn't standing out by the thermometer in the year 1920, but he suddenly decides a century on, what are we now, 95 years on, that 1920's temperature needs adjusting. That tells you how uncertain the science is. I would also like, Senator, just to say a word about this whole national security thing, because I've never heard anything quite so ridiculous. We are a country in which we have an enemy overseas who so-called radicalizes suburban couples in California who go out and kill people, but we are planning now for global security threats a century hence, because the Maldives might have been swept away by water by then. The entire population of the Maldives are all Sunni Muslim, so they'll fit in perfectly fine if they all move to this Brussels suburb that produced the shooters in Paris. Climate change is irrelevant to the long-term patterns. And I cannot tell you how absurd it is to be talking about climate change as a security threat compared to, say, just to pluck at random, population. In 1920, the British Isles and British West Africa had the same population, about 45 million people, for England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales on the one hand, and what are now Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Ghana, the Gambia, on the other hand. Now, the British Isles has a combined population, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, about 69 million, and British West Africa has a population of 250 million. So the security threat is exactly what we see in Europe at the moment, that Niger, a country that can't, that has increased its population by 50% in this century, since the year 2000, and had millions of starving people already that it couldn't feed, and is expected to increase its population tenfold by the end of the century, and all those people are just going to get on a boat and walk into Italy, Greece, Spain, Portugal. And the idea that somehow climate change's impact on that is absolutely trivial to the remorselessness of those numbers. And I understand that governments find it easier to deal with cloud cuckoo, fantasy land, saving the planet type issues. But this is a complete waste of time for an already beleaguered Defense Department having difficulty fighting the wars it's actually in right now in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere, suddenly dealing with sea levels in the Maldives in the 22nd century. It's completely preposterous and complete waste of time.
So, I'll leave that aside for a moment. and simply observe, if we look to the satellite data, we see for 18 years no significant recorded warming. We see no response from the Democratic senators. If we look to the raw data, according to the raw data, 1940, it appears from this chart, the five-year mean temperature was higher than it is in recent time. But once you adjust it, if you subtract from the old temperatures and add to the new ones, then you can have measurements that reflect your theory. Dr. Happer, you wanted to comment on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one more thing about the satellite data, and that is that they are cross-calibrated with weather balloons all over the world. And so it's not simply a couple of groups measuring satellites. There's a quality check that goes on there, and there's no similar thing to the surface data that I know of.
It's a very good point, and indeed Dr. Christie's chart, as he described, was an average of several measurements of both the satellites and the weather balloon. If we can move to the next two charts, I want to, the final line of questioning I want to address is the effect of censorship, of dogmatism, of intimidation. So both of these come from BarackObama.com, a website I will admit I don't spend a lot of time perusing. On BarackObama.com, the President of the United States is issuing a call out the climate deniers. Too many of our elected officials deny the science of climate change. Along with their polluter allies, they are blocking progress in the fight against climate change. Find the deniers near you. Find the heretics and call them out today. And indeed, they show a number. And I will say, when I first looked at that chart, I was quite disappointed. I thought I was omitted, but then I discovered I am indeed included, along with a number of other elected officials. Indeed, I might note, elected officials. What does it do to scientific debate? when anyone who dares question political ideology is branded a denier and a heretic. What are the consequences in the academic world when that occurs, Dr. Curry?
There's a chilling effect, okay? People keep their heads down. They look for opportunities just to do something else and to move on, retire, get out of the business. I've talked to any number of scientists who have done this, recent PhD recipients, on up to very senior scientists. It has a very chilling effect. As a tenured scientist who's relatively senior, I felt sufficiently secure to speak out. But younger scientists who are not tenured, fear for their jobs. They have mortgage payments, whatever, and kids to support. You know, they can't afford to speak out. The social contract currently between the Obama administration and climate scientists is, if you say alarming things, you'll get plenty of funding. That seems to be how it's working. And that is very, very pernicious for science.
And do you get funded?
If
you're researching anything other than the orthodoxy of global warming alarmists?
I'm no longer applying for government grants. I can't get funded to do anything I want.
Let me speak more in the aggregate. Does one get funded if one is a scientist and one... You know, I recall being back in high school and studying science, the scientific method, that you started with an hypothesis, and then you look to evidence to prove or disprove the hypothesis, and often disproving it is the more useful thing to try to do. Do those who are actually trying to disprove the hypotheses, mind you, the hypotheses that will drive up the electric bills and the cost of living for millions of Americans, will hurt people who are struggling, will hurt single moms, will hurt Hispanics, will hurt African Americans, does anyone doing any research that might contradict the political dogma,
okay,
are they at all likely to get funding?
Okay, the issue is this. The funding agencies do a call for proposals or an announcement of opportunity, and they're already implicitly assuming that human-caused climate change is dangerous, that there's not even an opportunity or something that even makes sense to write, you know, to submit a proposal to.
Right.
So that's the real problem. So a lot of the skeptical research is really being conducted by independent scientists who are not asking for any government funding.
Okay, so my final two questions. One of the letters that the minority has submitted into the record is a letter from the American Association for the Advancement of Science. A sentence within that letter. We are committed to the principle that scientific inquiry and open scientific communication, regardless of field of study, should proceed unhampered by intrusions on academic freedom. Now that is a noble sounding statement and one that with which I agree emphatically. I want to ask the members of the panel, how does that noble sentiment comport with the call from our colleague, Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, that anyone who dares dispute the global warming alarmist orthodoxy should face criminal prosecution under RICO? Are those two statements somehow compatible, that you can have academic freedom and robust debate when you've got politicians saying we will criminally prosecute you as a racketeer if you dispute our political orthodoxy?
Well, that statement by science is the AAAS is really a myth, because about 2 months ago, well, maybe 3 months ago, the editor of Science, Marcia McNutt, had an op-ed in Science that said, "The debate is over. Urgent action needed," essentially. And this was the editor of Science, which is the flagship journal of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. When an editor of a scientific journal makes a statement like that, it gives all of the editors a license to completely ignore any publication that's submitted that questions a consensus. And this is the real pernicious thing that's going on. So right now we're more ruled by the RICO mentality than we are by those lofty sentiments expressed by the American Association for the Advancement of Science.
Senator, you said your parents were, I think, mathematicians, statistical modelers. We've had a lot of talk today about climate science. I compiled a book that you were kind enough to mention the title of, and what was fascinating me about that book was that climate science evolves. 20 years ago, it was basically a branch of, 30 years ago, physical geography. Now it's basically computer modeling. Yet at the same time, the majority of statisticians who look at the climate models think they are grossly unprofessional. Mathematicians and statisticians who look at the way these climate models and the way the hockey stick were constructed are not on board with it at all. A majority of engineers are not on board with it. A majority of physicists, non-climate physicists, are not on board with this. So this idea that climate science is this hermetically sealed specialty that is sealed off from the rest of the world is nonsense. Climate science, there's, you have dendrochronology types, you have statistical modeling types, and there are elements of all in the work that they do. But certain people, mathematicians, engineers, statisticians, are not on board with this. And Judith mentioned Science magazine. Nature magazine went even further. They're the two most prestigious science journals on the planet, Nature and Science. And Nature printed a statement recently from a group of climate scientists who said, quote, climate justice, unquote, climate justice is more important than democracy. So that the fake 97% consensus is no longer enough. The fake 97% consensus of so-called climate scientists now has to trump the 51% of the electorate. No science in history has conducted itself like this. And it would be unrecognizable to Sir Isaac Newton or Charles Babbage or the Curies to see a self-sustaining, malign, politico-science nexus supporting itself and excluding all other voices. It is at odds with scientific inquiry across the centuries.
In 2009, August 31st, 2009, then Senator John Kerry, as I discussed in my opening, said scientists project that the Arctic will be ice-free in the summer of 2013, not in 2050, but 4 years from now. The nice thing about this is, unlike theories that can't necessarily be disproven, this is actually a statement that can be tested by actual facts and evidence. Dr. Happer, was it in fact accurate in the summer of 2013 the Arctic was ice-free?
No, it certainly wasn't ice-free, but if I could follow up on something my colleague just said, actually, this is not unprecedented in climate science. If you look in the Soviet Union for 30 years, it was framed by Lysenko in biology. And he had a complete control over biology. You got fired or worse if you didn't agree with his brand of biology. And that was finally brought to an end partly because of people from other fields. For example, Andrei Sakharov, the inventor of the Soviet hydrogen bomb, led some of the opposition because he had enough stature to stand up and push back. But most people were afraid. So there was a state of fear that was actually quite a bit worse than climate right now, but nevertheless, it's a good lesson to remember.
And my final question, Dr. Titley, based on your 3 decades serving in the Navy, do you agree with President Obama, who said holding a global warming summit in Europe was a powerful rebuke to the ISIS terrorist who just committed a horrific act of terrorism in Paris and indeed likewise in San Bernardino?
Senator, thanks, sir, for the question. The way I describe these geostrategic risks of climate change, climate is the risk, and it makes the threats such as ISIS, worse. So this is not an either or. It's not a false.
But I'm asking your judgment as a military man if you agree with President Obama that holding a global warming summit was a powerful rebuke to the ISIS terrorists. I find that statement absurd on its face. I'm asking, based on your military judgment, do you agree with the president?
We have to address both, sir.
Thank you. From your declining to answer, I take it the inference of that is that your answer is no.
My answer is, sir, we have to address both the risk of climate change and the threat of ISIS.
All right, thank you. Senator Peters.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go first.
So, there you go. That was under the Obama administration. You heard all that. Now you can understand why it is that I'm like I am when it comes down to this deal right here. So, I'm going to try to lighten it up just a hair with somebody you may or may not know, but there's a YouTuber out there named Mark Dice. He cracks me up sometimes. Listen to him.
We've been winning on so many different fronts this week, it's hard to keep track. Aside from Robert Mueller clearing the president, Michael Avenatti getting arrested, the Pentagon transferring funds to start expanding the wall, the Senate also voted on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal. Let's take a look and see how that turned out. The final vote was 57 no and 43 voting present, with literally zero senators voting yes. Literally not a single senator voted for it, not even a Democrat. In fact, three Democrats voted against it, and the rest just voted present, not saying that they were for or against it. By far the best arguments against the Green New Deal before the votes came from Senator Mike Lee of Utah.
I rise today to consider the Green New Deal with the seriousness it deserves. This is, of course, a picture of former President Ronald Reagan naturally firing a machine gun while riding on the back of a dinosaur. You'll notice a couple of important features here. First of all, the rocket launcher strapped to President Reagan's back, and then the stirring, unmistakable patriotism of the velociraptor holding up a tattered American flag, a symbol of all it means to be an American. No, critics might quibble with this depiction of the climactic battle of the Cold War, because while awesome, in real life, there was no climactic battle. There was no battle with or without velociraptors. The Cold War, as we all know, was won without firing a shot. But that quibble actually serves our purposes here today, Mr. President. Because this image has as much to do with overcoming communism in the 20th century as the Green New Deal has to do with overcoming climate change in the 21st.
Oh, it gets even better. He goes on to propose an alternative mode of transportation if we are to ban planes, trains, and automobiles like the Green New Deal calls for.
Tauntauns, Mr. President. This is a beloved species of reptile mammals, native to the ice planet of Hoth. Now, while perhaps not as efficient in some ways as airplanes or as snowmobiles, these hairy bipedal species of space lizards offer their own unique benefits.
Well, that might work for those of us who live on the continental United States, Senator, but how are people going to get to and from Hawaii, huh?
This is a picture of Aquaman, a superhero from the undersea kingdom of Atlantis, and notably here, a founding member of the Super Friends.
He then goes on to show a scene from the movie Sharknado 4, and then argues with a straight face that that is more evidence of why we need to support the Green New Deal. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez didn't find Senator Lee's presentation funny, and took to Twitter to complain that he was wasting taxpayers' money by spending his congressional allowance to print up the posters. Wrong again, lady. As a United States taxpayer myself, I'd say that that was money well spent. Here's Democrat Congressman Tom Suozzi from New York, who I'd be willing to bet would vote for the Green New Deal, even if it included a provision for Aquaman.
Now, the Green New Deal is a very, very ambitious, over-the-top idea to try and solve this problem, but you really need something to shock people out of their torpor to say we have to do something different than what we've been doing. And while some of the ideas are you know, seem extraordinary, almost a fantasy land, we need to have that type of aggressive ambition to really address something that's been ignored for much too long. I mean, I remember this issue being talked about in the late 80s, early 90s.
It certainly was, and they were saying back then that we only had 10 years to live, and here we are, 30 years later, just fine. Gulf Arts for Brains was not very happy that the vote was a tremendous failure.
People are dying. They are dying. And the response across the other side of the aisle is to introduce an amendment 5 minutes before a hearing and a markup. This is serious. This should not be a partisan issue. This is about our constituents and all of our lives. Iowa, Nebraska, broad swaths of the Midwest are drowning right now, underwater. Farms, towns that will never be recovered and never come back. This is about our lives. This is about American lives. And it should not be partisan. Science should not be partisan. We are facing a national crisis. I don't know what we're here doing. I don't know what we're here doing.
Of course you don't, because you're not even qualified to work at Starbucks. What a week, hey guys? I'm just so tired of winning. I just can't stand it anymore. I've been waiting for months for the right moment to release my new Trump Thug Life t-shirt. And that moment is finally upon us. Order yours from my online store at markdice.com or click the link in the description below. And like all of my shirts, it is available in a t-shirt, long sleeve, and a hoodie, and a whole bunch of different colors as well. So I hope you head on over to markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check it out.
Alrighty then, so there you go. Throw a little bit of that up in there. Look, folks, this is it. You know, I say when people hear me talk, they probably think that I'm anti-environment, you know? And I'm not. Not by any means. I'd like to see this whole world cleaned up. I've said it over and over and over again. I said that we have the solutions available in order to make the changes necessary to make this world better. And, hold on a second, let me, let's see. I gotta type something in here. Do-do-do-do. Alright, so, I'm trying to add a friend in, sorry about that, folks. But anyway, you know, it's not that, I'm anti-environmentalist. That's the farthest from the truth. How you doing there, lady?
Hey, I'm here. I think.
I need another earth lover here.
An earth lover. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely here as the earth lover, mama. Well, grandmama.
I'm sitting here trying to tell people about, you know, how, you know, if you listen to me talk sometimes, you'd swear I was anti-environmentalist, and I'm not. It's just that the fact that these folks... outside of, you know, their secret agendas to try to get control of the world, are literally stealing from the people. I played a couple podcasts, one of which they were talking about how there was a $500 million basically gift given to the UN Climate Fund, and it wasn't approved by Congress, but they used the attorneys and loopholes on how to, you know, basically steal $500 million from the people and pass it on to somebody else. And it was actually supposed to be in a huge fund that goes around and helps to other nations to build up their community.
Yeah.
But this climate change ripoff is it's just flat ridiculous. Do you realize what I personally could do with $500 million to research?
Oh yeah. I mean, this is an interesting thing because when you talk about this global warming climate change terrifying scenario, and you have a different perspective because you're doing research, of course. People look at you like you just said, that you like, okay, you hate the earth or you hate the mother or you don't give a crap or something's wrong with you. You know, I think we have to not be fooled by the global warming alarm because, this is quite serious. This is a plan, an agenda. It's a ploy, basically. And, to get people, you know, to move easily, incrementally into their plan, the United Nations plan for Agenda 21 and 20/2030, and many communities actually have already signed on, because what it is, it's we're talking, what we're saying, it all sounds good. It's about the sustainability, right? The word sustainability, well, of course, we want sustainability. Well, they're figuring out how to lead us into their so-called sustainability. But if you look at the agenda, which, you know, we can go into if you want, because we have to keep revisiting this United Nations 2030 agenda, well, and what connected. It really is,
it's
right?
All, it's all connected. Every last bit of it's all connected.
Well, you know, the United Nations is becoming a corporate-owned, you know, power, basically. I mean, that's becoming pretty obvious. And they're also bankrupt, even though they got all that money, but that money isn't funneled into those that it is deemed to help, you know?
Well, that's what I was asking about the $500 million. What do they got to show for it, Barbara?
Well, yeah, they don't have anything to show for it because these people are crooks, you know. So there you go. So they're not really interested in the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of children that, you know, that are dying because of food shortages or whatever, or you know, terrible lifestyles in these countries, or sex trafficking, or, you know, they're just not interested in that. You know, it's all a ploy. It's all a game. And basically they're saying that our current lifestyle, they're calling us like, we are the problem, the middle class, okay? Our current lifestyle is not sustainable, okay? Like your average American lifestyle just isn't working, because now we're just making a mess here. And, well, you know, but the government says that they need to take control, okay? They want more control. So it's going to be a government-managed society, all right? That this is, which would cost, by the way, $3 to $5 trillion per year with their plan, that government-managed societies. But what this is about is scaring the crap out of everybody to follow suit with what they're telling us. We are in deep doo-doo here, you know, the way they're presenting it. And you and I know, and if you're awake, people know that there's such an abundance here. Look, it doesn't mean that the way the corporate people are running things, corporations are the ones, the lobbyists in the field of the Senate and House that lobby the senators and the congressmen basically in their favor. In other words, the coal lobby, the oil lobby, you know, all these lobbyists come in and give the pocket money to the senators and the Congress to vote in their favor. I'm not saying that there isn't problems, and I'm not saying that there aren't the changes that are happening here, because we see it. But what is that? What is really happening? So it's not that just the corporations. It's not just these greedy people. All people need to take responsibility. We are the consumers. But we, basically, the setup is to push us into the levels of consumerism that is helping to bring the problems here on the earth. Now, but it's not, it's like pointing fingers, you know. I just, the Pope just recently, you know, made a statement about asking his bishops, his priests, and so on and so forth, if they see anything suspicious, you know, regarding pedophilia in their system, to report it. And I'm saying, well, that's like asking the fox, asking the foxes to report other foxes in the hen house. that's what that is.
Well,
so, you know, it's like, okay, so these people who are running things basically are basically running it in their favor, but they're pointing to us as the problem. We are somewhat part of the problem, that's for sure.
Well, to the extent that we're part of the problem is the extent why I keep talking about how if we're not going to back each other up and sit around and argue over all this craziness, a lot of folks don't realize what's going on out there on TV and the government. That's a doggone sitcom or a money or a what do you call those doggone reality TV shows. It's like Worldwide Wrestling Federation. But when it gets down to the
reality, what, you don't believe that that's real? What's wrong with you?
Because I paid attention in school. But the thing I'm trying to get to is that here we are. We're talking about they just threw 500. I don't know how many times they've done this either. But they threw $500 million to the UN Climate Fund. No accountability. Nobody's going to come back and with prototypes and say, look, we've got these professionally engineered machines that are really super efficient, and then we can resolve these problems. We can even make your car run better on less fuel and so on down the line. They don't do that. How long have we been at this? I mean, they have been talking about global warming since I was a kid. Here we are, I'm 53 years old, and I've yet to see even one smidgen of a resolution to anything. With that type
of budget, you know, this is really leading to, this whole thing about the global issue is really leading the UN official call for New World Order. I mean, they don't say New World Order, but the way they set it up is, you know, is about, we'll take care of everything, you know, in that way. And, basically, they're going to fix it all for us. And so we give it over to them. We just here, hand it over to them. You know, they're the authorities.
I'm starting to think that the modern day environmentalists have been suckered into being the army of the UN to go out there and protest and, you know, make a big scene about it. You can't go out there and talk to anybody about climate change because they've already got it in their head that it's real because the TV said so. It must be true, right?
Well, you know, there are natural changes that are happening, and there's a cyclical situation here. Studies have been done on these cycles that the Earth goes through naturally. Of course, now you do have an imprint here, you know, pushed by our consumption, that is affecting things. I mean, let's not be ignorant about that.
Yeah, but
you know?
it could be resolved. That's why, you know, I'm doing my bottle caps for Mad Science. That's a teeny, teeny little fraction. Doesn't even scratch the surface of the ultimate problem of all the plastic floating around out there that people threw out their car windows and that left on the beach and so on.
Yeah,
but it's a step forward, and if other people took that upon themselves, you don't have to have your government help you pick up trash. You can do it yourself, and you can turn that trash into treasure. So there
are solutions. there is people like you, and there is a thing happening around the globe. It's a challenge. It's called a challenge. I don't specifically know the title, but I see this happening where people are accepting the challenge to go to a place near them and to clean up the trash. And I have seen several videos where people are, you know, it shows the shore of a lake or even the ocean or an area, land, which is so trashed you can't even imagine how to even start.
Yep.
How would you even begin? There's so much, and yet, over the time in this video, it shows one person or a couple people coming together and cleaning up that area, and that's the challenge they are meeting, which is a beautiful thing, but we need more of that. I've seen ocean beaches in, I don't know whether it was Thailand, India, someplace, where you couldn't even walk on that beach, and this one person started. An older person, because they remember as a child how that beach was so beautiful, pristine and clean. And he started cleaning up the beach, and more people would come in. But before you know it, the whole community, they cleaned up that beach that actually the turtles that used to go there and lay their eggs, you know, came back.
That's cool.
This is a beautiful thing, and people are doing this. But we need more balance of this. We need more involvement of the people because there are unconscious people. I've seen people riding down the road in front of me throwing a bag of trash out the window. And then when I beep my horn or whatever, they give me the finger. I mean, like, what's with these people?
Anytime anybody finds any stories, whether it be like the one you just now mentioned about somebody throwing trash out the window or even to the extent going out and cleaning their beaches up, if you're listening in and you find a YouTube video like that, post it over here so we can share it with people, because I want to give those folks a shout out for
absolutely,
you know, doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, so getting back to the controlling circumstance here, it's all about what is the agenda? What is the United Nations 2030 agenda? Do you want it decoded? Do you want to go through that? Because I know we've talked about this before, but I have to keep revisiting this because this is incrementally making its way into our communities because, again, it's about sustainability, and people are saying, yes, we need sustainability. They're being told we're not sustainable.
It's all related. It's part of the rip-off. It is all related.
Well, it's government-managed societies, and they've been pushing that. So basically they're saying, you can't do this. We have the answer. Follow us. Just go this way. We'll help you. We're going to do this. So I'd like to revisit this 2030 agenda and decode it. Would you want to do that?
Yeah, because it's all related. Look, the reason why our electric bills keep going up isn't because it costs more to make electricity. It's because of these.
And you have a solution to that.
Yeah.
Do you see how crazy that is, right? And but they're not interested in what you have to offer or anybody who wants to do the good here or has the ability.
Well,
there are solutions.
Proof of that is I have literally contacted senators and congressmen and even the President of the United States sent text after text, emails, and all kinds of information, and even to the energy and the environmental agencies and stuff like that. And you know I got not one single response out
well,
of hundreds of thousands.
Well, because you're sending your letters to the deep state.
Yeah, I'm sending it to the crooks.
Who basically put you on a list as a terrorist.
Well, at least they should humor me and say, yeah, well, we'll get around to it one of these days.
Oh, yeah. No. So the 2030 agenda decoded, and I'll pop this into the People for People chat. Actually, you should have this. Let me give it to you if I can do this. Let me give it to you so that you can. Oops, I can't
I'll pass
do
it. Around.
Never mind. It won't let me have it. It won't let me copy it here. Hold on. No. All right. After this, it's the United Nations 2030 agenda decoded. It's what this is, folks. Pay attention, because this affects us all, and this is where they want to push us. This is happening. It's not that they're going to. This is happening. So this is a blueprint for the global enslavement of humanity under the boot of corporate masters. And already I read about the UN, where it is being really slowly run by corporatists. And this is exactly what this article is saying. So this is from Natural News, and it says, this week, Michael Snyder published an important article entitled The 2030 Agenda. This month, the UN launches a blueprint for a new world order with the help of the Pope. Get that, right? Mr. Popey is involved in all this, in all of this stuff. He's like the one who tells the foxes in the, you know, in the hen house to... Okay. To tell the other foxes that there's bad stuff going on. So, that article references the UN 2030 agenda. Okay. That pushes a blueprint for the so-called sustainable development. Pay attention to these words. Don't you people want sustainable development around the world? Okay. This document describes nothing less than a global government takeover of every nation across the planet. And the goals of this document are nothing more than code words for a corporate government fascist agenda that will imprison humanity in a devastating cycle of poverty while enriching the world's most powerful globalist corporations like Monsanto and DuPont and so on and so forth. Right now, Monsanto, that was bought by Bayer, is having a lot of problems because people are suing them and for this Roundup poisoning, and these people are winning these lawsuits, which is a wonderful thing to see, okay? But is it going to stop them? I don't know. So in the interest of helping wake up humanity, here's a translation of the 17 points of the 2030 agenda, so that readers everywhere, listeners everywhere, can understand, those are my words, what this document is really calling for. To perform this translation, you have to understand or understand how globalists disguise their monopolistic agendas in a feel-good language. So first what they do is they get to terrify everybody. So everybody is terrified and scared to death. And then they start their monopolistic agendas to tell us, okay, in the feel-good language, how they're going to take care of everything. This is how the system works. So.
I'm not terrified, I'm angry.
Well, yeah, I'm angry and I'm frustrated, too, of course. So here's the point-by-point translation. Now, you have to notice carefully that nowhere does this document state that achieving human freedom is one of its goals. Well, that should alarm you. Nor does it explain how these goals are to be achieved. As you'll see here, every single point in this UN agenda is to be achieved through centralized government control and totalitarian mandates that resemble, guess what? Ta-da! Communism. Oh, but wait. So, listen, about the UN. I was very interested that President Donald Trump, and when he first took over as president, decided to step away from the UN, or he threatened to do that anyway, and that's something you want to look at. And everybody went ballistic because, you know, that's a terrible thing. You can't step out of the United Nations because the United Nations is a good thing because it helps people in the world and the populations and blah, blah, blah. Well, which we're finding out is false anyway. So I was very fascinated that Donald Trump backed out of the Paris climate agenda change, the Paris climate thing, and I was glad he did, because you and I and other people know that that climate, the Paris climate agenda, is a farce.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what they've been doing. They've been trying to just basically scare people while ripping them off. That's it. This is flat out theft. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's theft of your freedom. It's theft of your finances. It's theft of your sovereignty.
It's going to be theft of your land. It's going to be theft of your home.
Yeah.
Well, let's read it and see. Okay, so translation here of the 2030 Agenda Blueprint for Globalist Government Controlled by Corporate Interests, and that is very real. Patty and I have talked about that we seem to be heading for a corporate-run government here, military and corporate-run government. And I have to add, I know that Trump is a corporatist, and that's very concerning to me. You know, and so all these leaders, all these elite people in our government, political arenas here, presidents and prime ministers and all those people that run the world, they're all involved in corporate stuff. They all want, it's the money, 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 follow the money. So here's the goal one. This sounds good. End poverty in all its forms everywhere. But here's the translation of that. Don't you want to end poverty in all its forms everywhere? I would like that, but here's the translation of what this means in their agenda. Put everyone on government welfare, food stamps, housing subsidies, and handouts that made them obedient slaves to global government. Never allow people upward mobility to help themselves. Instead, teach mass victimization and obedience to a government that provides monthly allowance money for basic essentials that, like food and medicine, and label it ending poverty. What do you think about that?
I think it's my head just will not stop spinning because
your hair is on fire.
Yeah,
I
mean, look, there's government grants out there available for research, but a guy like me, I couldn't touch it because I would not come back and say, yeah, climate change is real. I would come back with actual working prototypes, which, you know, they don't...
Well, then you'd lose your funding.
Yeah, it's exactly what... They tell you to reduce your carbon footprint, and then you put up a solar panel, and then your local government wants to fine you for it.
Yeah,
how's that work?
Or you want to catch water, rain catch, and they say, okay, it's against the law.
Yeah.
You can't... Okay, so let's look at goal two. Here's the UN agenda's goal. It's to end hunger, to achieve food security and improved nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. Wow, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But here's the translation. invade the entire planet with GMOs and Monsanto's patented seeds while increasing the use of deadly herbicides under the false claim of increased output of food crops, engineer genetically modified plants to boost specific vitamin chemicals while having no idea of the long-term consequences of genetic pollution or cross-species genetic experiments carried out openly in fragile ecosystems. Hey, wow. So, their goal is to end hunger by invading the entire planet with GMOs and patented seeds to increase, you know, basically increasing deadly herbicides under the false claim of increased output of food crops.
Right, reminds me of Attack of the Killer Tomato. You remember that old ridiculous?
Yeah, what's with those movies, right?
I'm saying Attack of the Killer Tomato, one of these days you're going to keep on tampering around with nature and you're going to end up with some sort of monster fruit or something that's going to come out and eat your face off. That's reality.
Well, that wouldn't be fun, picking your tomatoes and getting attacked by the killer tomato.
But the whole... Okay. The whole damn thing is just so ridiculous. I mean,
let's look at it this way. Here's how I'm going to look at it. This is brilliant. Okay, these people are really brilliant. They're dang blasted evil, but they're brilliant. Look at the way they're promoting this, and look at the way people think this is wonderful.
They do it just like the charities do it. Oh, give us your money and we'll save the children. I get so mad when I see those commercials because I'm 53 years old and we still have hungry children while governments are wasting money hand over fist and resources. Companies and corporations and the average Joe waste so much. It's just ridiculous. And then they turn around and try to make you feel bad or try to make you fearful in order for you to send your money to them. Look, I ain't got no problem helping out the poor. I love helping out somebody who's in need.
But they're not helping. We're finding out now that that money that people donate because they are good people and want to help is being funneled into the pockets of the elite.
Yeah, like Hillary Clinton.
I'm not making this up. I am not making this up, folks. Look at the Red Cross. Look at the what we're finding out about these big money, you know, helping people, you know. Look at the Cancer Crusade. Cancer Crusade.
Cancer really burns my hide because there's cures out there for that.
Yep.
And they butcher these people. They torture children, putting them in these doggone chemotherapy programs where they're going to lose their hair and they're going to lose their immune system. They're sicker
than
they were.
They're going to lose their life. I mean, really, they're destroyed. And here's the thing. Okay, in some instances, this chemo and this radiation puts people into remission. But guess what they have found out?
It always comes back.
It comes back because what you're doing is you're basically destroying the immune system and you're also setting that person up for future cancers because of the radiation in their body and because of the chemo in their body. What's wrong with that picture, folks? So you think, oh yeah, but chemo and radiation does help people. Look, it put that person into remission, but now they're discovering what happens later on in life.
Well, for somebody who says that, I want them to match the numbers as successes as opposed to failure. And then go out and look at the hyperbaric oxygen treatments and match the numbers from that as successes and failures.
Oh, listen, I just saw a video. This is awesome. And also frustrating and sad. At the border in Tijuana, going into Mexico, Tijuana, are hundreds and hundreds of backed up cars of people in the United States heading for Tijuana for treatment of cancer, where they are actually healing people with all these alternatives. And so you talk about trouble at the border, people trying to get into the United States. Why would they want to come here?
Well, that's probably why they want to build the wall. Mostly it's because they don't want us leaving either.
That's a good point.
They don't want you going in or out. They want to keep their slaves or their cattle in the same fence, if you understand what I'm saying. Look,
I do.
We got a lot of problems down there, but we could also resolve those as well by helping to uplift the communities on the other side of the fence.
Well, there's a whole other story between Mexico, United States, and Canada with this trade deal, and that's a whole other story. Yeah, it's a serious thing, but we're talking right now. Let's continue with the Agenda 30. You know, it's like everything that appears at the surface to be wonderful and good and beneficial is really, there's a lot of hidden garbage and trash and scary stuff behind what they're doing. This is what we have to pay attention to. So, okay, goal three. Okay, don't you want to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages? Yes, of course. Yeah. But here's the mandate, the translation of that. The code is mandate 100% plus vaccines for all children and adults at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah. Right. See, I, like, really want that because after what Bill Gates said, you know, he's in the upper echelon because he's rich.
And he's one of the elite.
After what he said, I want to rush right out and get me a flu shot, man. No.
Well, so here's the thing. Threatening parents with arrest and imprisonment if they refuse to cooperate and get their children vaccinated. Push heavy medication use on children and teens while rolling out screening programs. Call mass medication prevention.
Oh,
programs.
Speaking of that, did you, a long time ago, there was an article to come out how they were talking about actually using mosquitoes to inoculate the population.
Yeah, thank you very much. Little mosquito bots, right?
Yeah.
Either they're going to immunize you with their poison, or they're going to take you out, explode your brain, like we saw with that one bot.
Yeah, they were going to basically put this vaccine into the mosquitoes, and then when that mosquito comes out there and basically sucks your blood, it transfers that. Which would supposedly be a dead virus over to your body so your body's immune system can attack
it. Yes, this is our government, folks. Yeah. No, they wouldn't do that.
That's not science fiction. That's science fact. Well, I mean, look how they go out and test putting flus in subways and stuff like that. You know? And all these different things like Lyme's disease and stuff like that, how they're transmitted and stuff. Look, you could do that. You could infect mosquitoes, and mosquitoes grow like wildfire. They all infect each other. Next thing you know, they're running around.
Oh, well, isn't the mosquito? Isn't the what was it that the mosquitoes are giving people? What is it? Is it Zika virus?
Zika, malaria.
Malaria is. I think it's nature's natural whatever. But Zika virus. There was that other thing, I can't remember what it is, but suddenly appeared somewhere in some puddle in Manhattan or outside of Manhattan.
I bet they sold a lot of mosquito repellent.
Uh-huh.
Scaring the heck out of everybody.
What we're talking about here is their goal is to ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all at all ages through 100-plus vaccines. And imprisonment if you don't... you know, cooperate. This is supposed to be good. Now, it's called mass medication prevention programs and claim that they improve the health of citizens. And people are falling for this, folks. It's like, and people, yes, of course, are battling each other about, you know, you're not allowed in this classroom because you're not immunized. You're not allowed to participate in this club or this game because you are not immunized. This is what's going on.
You can't even travel to another country unless you get immunized.
That's true. So let's look at goal four. This is goal four of the United Nations Agenda 2030. It's going to ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Now, here's the translation, the code. Push a false history and a dumbed-down education under Common Core. Education standards that produce obedient workers rather than independent thinkers. Never let people learn the real history or else they might realize that they don't want to repeat it. What do you say about that?
I am dumbfounded.
Okay, we know that our history has been manipulated. We know that. I mean, it's happened all over the world. But this Common Core thing, just recently, Betsy DeVos was before the House Committee speaking about their new budget. Now, get this. They're going to defund the program for physically challenged, I can't remember the name of it, physically challenged children. They have their games, right? For these young people who are physically challenged. What is that called? Anyway, she's going to take a lot of that money. They're defunding these programs. Okay, and people are going ballistic about this. And, of course, they're blaming Trump. Well, guess what I just found out? This is extraordinary. Everything that happens, they blame Trump. Trump's administration did this. Trump did that. It just came out that President Donald Trump did not know about this defunding, okay, by Betsy DeVos of the handicapped children, the games for these handicapped children. Didn't know about it. He found out about it just the other day, and he was kind of outraged about it, and he said no. He said, I'm basically going above them, and I'm going to fund this program. Okay? He does not know how this happened or who did this, but now he's finding out, and he's saying, no, I'm going above these people. Now, these people are in his administration. How does that happen? Now, you got to think about this. There are so many parts to our government. Okay, there's so many parts and places and people involved and programs and so on and so forth. Do you really think that the president, any president, would know every part of what his administration is doing? Well, not totally. I mean, there's like hundreds and hundreds of these programs and people involved. But he did find this out, and he said, absolutely, we will fund this program. So what do you think on that?
Once again, my brain is just like I'm in a tailspin. There's just so much craziness going on, and you know, everybody sits around arguing about whether the president is or isn't a good person. And if he backs good programs and his track record showing that he's trying to resolve issues out there, I'm all for him. But this situation that we've got going on, it's beyond the government. It's beyond the government is so intertwined and so twisted. It's hard to tell who's good and who isn't anymore.
It is true, and we do have people, like I said to you. Okay, you were writing to Senate and congressmen, and I said jokingly, but it's true. Well, you just wrote to the deep state,
yeah,
basically, and they don't care about.
I say we the people are the only ones that can fix this. We're the only ones, because look, $500 million just went over to the doggone. It probably didn't just go there, but it's probably been going there for a long time, over and over again. So that's $500 million. Could you imagine if that type of resources was in the hands of the people, to where we could actually hold each other accountable, you know, and actually come out with working prototypes of super efficient equipment and things that don't pollute.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine if that were taking place, Shaz. Imagine if that's where we were headed.
That's where
we
should
be. And you got to question why. Why isn't that happening?
Because of that podcast that I played, and that one senator asking them, what about the doggone scientists that want to say, you know, against things, and they basically duck their heads down because they want to be able to pay their bills just like everybody else, and if they don't agree with the status quo, then they don't get funding. And so a guy,
you know,
like
there's a whole list, you can research this, of scientists who have been paid off basically to tout global warming as a problem.
Well,
this is real. So these people, like you said, they need money to pay their whatever bills and so on and so forth. And so they'll go into the dirty money. They'll accept money to lie,
yeah,
to cause harm. is that beyond your comprehension?
No,
I mean,
but let's do this for a second. Let's just humor them for a second. Let's just play the devil's advocate. Okay, global warming, climate change, and all that's real. We have to fix it. All right, we got to do this. We got 12 years to get it done. Well, my question is this: if we got 12 years to get it done, show me the money. Where's it at? Because I'm sitting here telling you that I will give you actual real-time, in your hands, working prototypes, and whatever balance is left over in your hand to resolve this problem. But it's not happening. That's the problem. It's not happening.
Well, and you got to look at why isn't it happening, because it wouldn't serve their purpose. It wouldn't put money into their pockets. Yeah. It would not put money... The corporations... If we take the corporations down that are destroying the planet, that are basically oil spills and coal crap polluting the waters, oil spills that are destroying the planet, drilling, fracking, destroying the forest, taking the forest down, the lungs of the earth, if we eliminated all of that, what would those people be doing?
If we eliminated all those different types of jobs, they'd probably be finding a different type of job doing, clean, renewable, alternative energy real time.
Look, they could do that. They could do that, but they're not.
Yeah, but the deal is, look, if you don't understand physics, and you don't understand that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, if you're cracking up the ground to get natural gases out of that ground, or oil, or even water for that matter, if you're cracking it up to get it out of there, you have to understand that you just put a void in that space. That was what was known
That's
as hydraulic
right.
pressure up under
well,
that
Well, then
ground.
You got all these sinkholes.
Yeah.
What do you think all these sinkholes are?
That's it. And somebody with common sense and who paid attention in science class could figure that out. Your house falls in a hole. Oh, it's an act of God. Right? Really? What about that?
Well, no, they say
right
you shouldn't have built your house there.
Yeah.
No, guess what? They're taking everything from under the earth. They're sucking it all out.
That's what the problem is.
But you know those the scientists and the people like you, the good people like you who have come up over the many, many years with solutions to create things in our life that would be beautiful and sustainable and healthy, guess what? They're all dead.
Yeah, I was getting ready to go there,
They've
too.
They've all been taken out.
I was getting ready to go there, too. Look, I'm going to say it. I'm kind of concerned right now, because I just helped a man complete a generator that quite literally recharges itself. It does exactly what we set out for it to do, puts out over 25,000 watts of power, and it does exactly what we said it was going to do. I haven't heard from this man for over 2 weeks now.
Uh-oh.
So I'm starting to get concerned.
Look, it's a sad state of affairs when you create something like that will help civilization, that you have to be afraid.
Yeah, I'm starting to get concerned because he just up and disappeared. All right, now what's going on? Okay, maybe he's out of the country. I got to sit back and I got to be patient and wait and hear word that he's okay and everything, keep sending a message, want to know if he's all right and all that. But I put that knowledge in his hand on how to make his device work. It works. It flat out works. And
well, that's a beautiful thing, but it's very concerning, like you said. So something's kind of fishy here.
Well, and this is why this is such a hard task and this is why my Mad Science YouTube channel came at this deal in a creative fashion, because it's all right for the government to think I'm crazy, but if people actually pay attention and the little light bulbs start kicking on, they'll be like, "Hold on a second, yeah, I saw that." All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once you see it and you try it and it works, then it's a different story now. But, between all the people coming out there to curse you out and try to discourage you from doing that, I think the majority of those are people that are paid by companies or corporations out there, and even some of these turkeys that they allow on YouTube to put out bogus devices, and they got like 10 commercials on one doggone video, so it's an ad farm. They're making money hand over fist because they're getting thousands of views because people are tired of paying for electricity, and they're looking for a solution. We just built a solution, and now I can't find my partner in the deal. So, Something's going on.
Yeah. Well, we've got to put out prayers for that person. This is serious.
Well, I'm not going to throw his name out here on the table because I don't want to, like, aim nobody at him. You see what I'm saying?
No, I know. But well, let's go on. This is goal five, and think, listen clearly what I'm going to say here, because, okay, this is goal five of agenda, the United Nations agenda, which is supposed to be all good, right? It's presented as being good, because don't we want to achieve gender equality? Don't we want to empower all women and girls?
Sure, yeah. But what's that got to do with becoming sustainable climate change and all that? It does.
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, what is this? This is about, you know, sustainability. What is that? So here's the translation. Here's the code. Criminalize Christianity. Marginalize heterosexuality. Demonize males. Promote the LGBT agenda everywhere. Do we think that that's happening?
Well, you know, if you can move all the men over with the men, and you can move all the women over with the women, that'll solve the population problem, because nature doesn't function to the extent where you can, you know, procreate with the same...
Yeah, well, you have the fertility issue going on, where men's sperm count is becoming very, very, very low, percentage-wise. You know, this is
a scary thing. Wonder if that has anything to do with the drinking water.
Well, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. Well,
the crud being scraped.
Well, we're just conspiracy theorists anyway. We're conspiracy wackadoodles anyway, right?
Sure we are. But doggone it, they put it out there in your face, and then when you go to research it, and then you find the truth of it, and then you try to bring the truth to the table, that's what's aggravating about this, because they will sit there and tell you they're doing all this terrible stuff to society, and then whenever you speak about it, oh, you're just a nutcase. What?
Well, so the criminalizing Christianity piece for me, you know how I feel about the organized religions, okay? I wish they'd all just disappear, frankly, because I think that would solve a lot of problems, okay? Now, I'm not talking about spirituality, and I'm not talking about your relationship to a creator. I'm talking about, you know, the organized Christians, the organized churches, the organizing people into believing that the only way you can get to creator is through a man in a dress, and to do it this way, that way, and so on. Plus, you're an original sinner, so you definitely, you know, you're just bad, you know. So, but this is, criminalizing Christianity is on the rise, folks. Now, what is Christianity? If we take Christianity, simple terms, the 12, don't kill anybody, don't murder anybody, you know, be good, be kind, blah, blah, blah. I mean, all these things, to me, is what this is about.
Well, it's that and the true followers of what Christ's teaching was.
That's right.
It's not a building. It's not a governmental structure. It is you listen to what this man preached, and this is you're following in those beliefs, and that is true Christianity.
It's been skewed into mega-churches. They're working to criminalize that, and that's happening. We see that's happening.
Well, they want to throw you in jail for being a climate change denier. Why not throw you in jail for preaching the gospel, you know?
You're going to get beheaded, or you whatever. I mean, are you going to get murdered, or are you going to get stoned to death? I mean, China is attacking people who are, supposedly pushing, you know, the ways of, I guess you'd say, Christ's ways, or the church, or their church, or whatever. I mean, that's happening in China. People are being arrested, and then you have,
guess I'm going to get beheaded, because I'm sticking to my spiritual journey until somebody or some higher power shows me the light and the right way. I'm going to keep on the path that I'm on. So I'm not going to allow no government fear or fear for my life, because only thing they do if they kill me is make me stronger, as far as I'm concerned. My spirit is strong, and I got the heart to match.
I agree with you, and you know, the thing is that I'm looking at is, okay, the one world religion. What is the one world religion going to be? And now we have this rising a system of artificial intelligence as the new religion.
Yeah.
Okay.
every science fiction show I've seen, when it gets down to that part right there, when the computers get smarter than the man, it doesn't fare well. They always come back to the same exact thing. The history of mankind was war and atrocities and starvation and sickness. And so if that computer's designed to believe that it's supposed to do the best for the world or for humanity, the best for humanity is that humanity isn't there. You see what I mean?
Yeah, well, you know, we had the Papal Bulls and the Manifest Destiny. Basically, that started in across the pond there in Europe, where people lost their natural connections to Creator, Great Spirit, and the Mother. And then they came here to Turtle Island under that umbrella, Manifest Destiny, Papal Bulls, that basically said that anybody who isn't a Christian has no soul, and you can just take them out. Well, you can steal their land, you can destroy them, you can destroy their family. And
that isn't something that I, as a Christian, would have subscribed to. That is, I would have been on the other side fighting with them people to protect them people, because I know the true meaning of what it is that I believe as far as Christ.
Well, the point is that the Indian people didn't have a word for devil or evil. That wasn't even in their vocabulary, and they were very close, very connected in their spiritual way to Great Spirit, whether they called Wonkantanka, Tokashula, or any other of the native names for some omniscient being, some great mystery. But they didn't have a word for evil or devil. They didn't even, or sin. That wasn't even in their nation's language. So, I'm just saying. So, I want to get back to this achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls, because the real goal is never equality, but rather the marginalization and the shaming of anyone who expresses any male characteristics whatsoever. The ultimate goal is to feminize society. Now, I don't know about this piece here, but I'm looking at it because it is curious to me, like you said. How does this goal 5, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls, have to do with sustainability? So that's the question. But they put that in here. So the ultimate goal is to feminize society, creating widespread acceptance of gentle obedience along with self-weakening ideas of communal property and sharing everything. That's socialism. That's communism. Because only male energy has the strength to rise up against oppression and fight for human rights. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but that's what this person is writing as the decoding
here. Well,
I'll tell you what,
I've seen some women that can go to battle right alongside the men. When it's for justice, they know how to take care of business.
Well, and I think it has to be both of us. I think the women and the men. The point is the separation of the unity of the male, the sacred male, and the sacred female. That is the key piece here, is the agenda is to separate that unity, that sacred unity of standing together side by side, okay, in harmony and balance. But so that's where I'm coming from on this.
That's why what we're saying right here is important, because the whole entire deal is to break us up. We're having radio shows like this that people are already so doggone indoctrinated to believe that climate change or whatever's real, and that free energy's a myth, and that we're all tinfoil hat wearing conspiracies. So we're already up against the system's indoctrination that they've had from the time a kid goes to school to the time he gets out of college. And so I'm sitting here saying, we got to come together, while they're sitting here saying, we got to split us apart. We got to break up the family. We got to break up the society.
Yep, this is the main piece from my perspective, is that agenda has been ongoing to basically mess up the minds and the way of men and girls, women and boys, just to mess us up and pit us against each other, where we hate each other and we're fighting each other, and the family, breaking up the family. And now I'm not saying you have a right to, if you don't want to get married, if you don't want to start a family, that's fine. But, you know, it's like the basis of what we see happening here is really dark, and it's to break up the unity of harmony and balance, the sacredness of everything. That's what I'm talking about. So the suppression of male energy is key to keeping the population in a state of eternal acquiescence. But I think that goes across the board, because the women themselves have been inundated with this rage about the male system, the patriarchy. And I talk about the patriarchy because I've figured it out, folks. Everything, every system that we are under and must abide by was set up by the patriarchy dominator rulers. Every system, which they separated, basically, the any involvement, and they enslaved women. They set up any involvement of women in the system at all. And you know, we had a clan mother system here on Turtle Island, and most of the indigenous cultures throughout, and even ancient times in the goddess cultures, the druid cultures, the men and women stood together in this, in respect and honoring of the Mother Earth and creation. But they did a good job, basically, of destroying and eliminating the clan mother system here on Turtle Island, where the women were chosen for their wisdom. They were chosen for their ability as peacekeepers, okay? And I kind of say today that if women were heading up the governments, if things were in balance and harmony as they were originally, you know, I don't think women would jump so quickly into sending their babies to war.
I don't think they would either. I honestly don't think they would either. I wish we did have a clan mother system. At least we'd have some common sense around the table.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that the men were eliminated. It means that the clan mothers had this ability, because the mothers are their sisters, aunties, grandmothers to all children. They're givers of life.
Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to get to, is that it honors the women for their life, given, you know, a miracle. We can't, you know, have a family without the women, you know.
Well, that's why in the indigenous cultures, men respected the women, because the women had that gift given to them, the givers of life. And that's it. Simple, in a nutshell.
I'm just trying to make some sense out of something that just doesn't, you know. I started this show off talking about climate change ripoff. It is. It's a fraud. And I will argue with anybody till I'm blue in the face. I'll debate any of the best scientist guys in the world. Put me in front of the Senate. Put me in front of Congress. Put me in front of anybody who's going to pay attention to what I'm saying.
Well, you better wait till the deep state is taken out, and they're on their way.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they want to eventually might be knocking down my door, because I'm not going to stop until I prove what it is that I'm saying. Look, I'm with limited budget, limited resources. I'm putting together prototypes. I'm showing videos. I'm doing live streams out there. I'm doing radio shows. I'm talking to people about science. I'm talking to them about it. But when I see stories like what I saw here about how, you know, they can just inadvertently throw $500 million to, you know, UN Climate Fund, I want to know what the heck they're doing with it. I want some accountability. Where's the prototypes? Where's the benefit?
You know what they're doing with it.
It's going in people's pocket.
That's right. So let's go to goal six, because I think you're going to like this one. Ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Well, that sounds good, but here's the code. Allow powerful corporations to seize control of the world's water supplies and basically charge monopoly prices to build new water delivery infrastructure that ensures availability. Now, that's happening already.
Yeah, your water's not safe to drink, so you go out and pay a dollar a bottle of water, or you go out and buy a gallon jug of distilled water. When you put your tap water into your coffee pot, and within weeks, your coffee pot starts to calcium up and plugs itself up and blows it out. Well, they get to sell you another coffee pot. Plus, they get to destroy the next one in line with the same
dose of
water.
Plus, you have to go to the doctor because you're sick.
Yeah.
You need pills. You need the pharmaceuticals. But I just want to say that China and I think Saudi Arabia are buying up water rights everywhere in the world. Why is that, right? Yep. And then you have Nestle's. Nestle's is buying up waters and to sell the bottled water, so they're buying up springs and natural, natural water sources.
They say T. Boone Pickens gave up on oil and moved into the blue gold, which is water.
Yep, That's the blue gold. The new commodity, basically, is water, folks. So, and number seven is ensure access to
affordable...
They're going
to come try to take my land, Barbara, because I live on a water table. They're going to come try to take it. You watch.
Well, that's going to be happening. I mean, we also are that in that position, you know, but... So, number seven is to ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. You're going to like this. But here's the translation. Penalize coal, gas, and oil while pushing doom to fail green energy subsidies of brain-dead startups headed by friends of the White House who all go bankrupt in 5 years or less. The green startups make for impressive speeches and media cover. But because these companies are led by corrupt idiots rather than capable entrepreneurs, they always go broke. And the media hopes you don't remember all the fanfare surrounding their original launch of these green ideas, right?
It makes me mad because I know right now for a fact that they are quite literally going out there buying up working devices and prototypes, shelving them, and so the same people that caused the problem and put out the propaganda about the climate change and all this other stuff, when it's all said and done, they're going to come rushing in to the rescue. Hey, look, we spent all of our money doing research, and we got this for you. This is our new energy. We already have it. But we can't use it because of the government regulations and because of people's stupidity that they buy into the lie. We have clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. We don't even need coal. But obviously, if I put that out there on the market, that's a national security threat because now our economy could go bad because we're on the petrodollar. We can't have clean, renewable, alternative energy. So while at one side of their neck these politicians are telling you we got to go for it, that's why I keep saying it's a doggone puppet show up there. It's a dog and pony show because they're saying out of one side of their neck, we got to get these problems solved or we're going to have a dead planet within 12 years. We got to get clean, renewable, alternative energy, the Green New Deal. We already have it. And here you go. They're going to come rushing in. They're going to say, well, we come rush to the rescue. We saved you from climate change. Here's your new electricity. But guess what? Sorry, you still got to pay for it.
Well, it's also to herd the people into smaller living conditions because, you know, they're going to save the land.
Yep.
You know, the land that we, the people, are destroying. But don't you want to... Look, here's the conundrum. Okay, and this started a while back. I remember a big fight over logging in some place. I don't know where it was because an owl... There was a certain owl, endangered species owl or a frog or a turtle or a lizard or... I don't know.
Yep.
Was going to be endangered if they take that forest down. Now, I'm like, okay, I want to save that owl. Yeah, I want to save that lizard. Okay, so don't take that forest down, okay? So you have this fighting going on, and it all looks good, but here's like, you want to promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. But here's the translation of that. You regulate small businesses out of existence with government-mandated minimum wages that bankrupt entire sectors of the economy. You also force employers to meet hiring quotas of LGBT workers while mandating wage tiers under a centrally planned work economy dictated by the government. You destroy free market economics. And you deny permits and licenses to those companies that don't obey government dictates. Yep. So these are the agendas that we are being told, well, sounds all good. We want sustainability. We want somebody to fix this for us because it's scary. We're not going to be here. You know, we're all dying. The earth is dying, you know. So the people who are in charge, the authorities again, listen, I think we have to finally get it straight. Anybody that claims to be an authority is, you know, basically run the other way.
Yeah, that's it altogether. And it, like I said, this just got my brain spinning because I'm just so incredibly frustrated. And look, when you're sitting there and you're researching and you're studying year after year after year, and you paid attention, and you got all this knowledge right there in front of you, and you know that everybody else on the planet has this knowledge on access to it too. Maybe some not, you know, in countries where they don't have electricity or, you know, computers or whatever, but there ain't no reason why we couldn't get that information to them anyway. But regardless, we're standing here in a time, year 2019, we have access to the vast sum of all man's knowledge. I'm sitting there looking at it, I'm saying, there's your answer, there's your answer. This lady over here just showed you some alternative medicines that has proven to work. I researched those as well. It's right there, every single doggone piece of the puzzle necessary to resolve the so-called problem. But the key to all this is, they don't want to resolve the problem. The moment they resolve the problem, then they're no longer needed. They don't want us to come together and resolve the problem. The moment we fix that, they're no longer needed. We don't need the government to enforce things we've already resolved. But that is how they keep this thing going. This back and forth that your government, Congress, and Senate about climate change and calling each other deniers or talking about throwing people in jail for it all. If these folks would listen for 5 freaking minutes, I would explain to them exactly how you could resolve this once and for all. I don't believe in climate change because the science don't back it up. But the fact of the matter is, there, if you do believe in that, and there is solutions, and you're not listening to those solutions, then you are part of the problem. It's that simple. Nature's been doing what nature has been doing for so long, beyond all of us. And nature knows what nature's supposed to be doing. Nature recycles everything. Nothing gets wasted. It's 100% proven science. Nature knows how to do everything. And if you paid attention in school, not just the school of science, but if you paid attention in the school of what nature has showed you, you could have clean water. You could have food. Yeah. You could have everything that you needed, health and economy-wise, yep, and all, by doing it respectfully.
Everything we ever needed was here. Everything we ever need, every medicine, the Indian people knew, the people of the earth knew every medicine. There was clean water. You could drink from any stream, any brook, any water. You know, the air was clean. The medicines were here. The balance and harmony was present until we started messing with it to make a better tomato, you know, that will... attacking tomato. Here's one that gets me. This is the one. So they want to make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. But here's the translation on this. And here's where we're heading. This is a push. Ban all gun ownership by private citizens, concentrating guns into the hands of obedient government enforcers who rule over an unarmed, enslaved class of impoverished workers. Now, they're going to criminalize living in most rural areas, and this is the piece. It's like instituting the Hunger Games style of protected areas. That's what I was talking about, which the government will claim are owned by the people, even though no people, you're not going to be allowed to live there. You're going to force all humans into densely packed, tightly controlled cities where they are under 24/7 surveillance, which is happening, and subject to easy manipulation by the government because you will be chipped. Folks,
I won't be chipped. They're gonna have to kill me, and they probably will. But the whole thing is about the stack and pack cities. You think about this long enough, you think about
they're
the
already
fact,
being built. You know,
we're all scattered out all over. There's a lot of people in cities, and there's a lot of people out in the country. We're all scattered out all over, and we can't get along at that distance. And then you're going to shove us all into one little compacted deal. You want to talk about depopulation. Put about $50,000 to $100,000 people per square block. And then see how when they don't get their government subsidy on time that they don't start fighting. Right?
They're going to also be unhealthy because you're going to have the continuation of the poisoning of the water, the poisoning of the air, the poisoning of the food. and they're all going to be packed tight into these, you know, these housing units, and you're not going to be allowed to get your, you know, your renewal, your healing, your health.
Let me ask you a question on that. Let me ask you a question. Look, they want to quite literally create a utopia, all right? They want to turn the world into a utopia. But the biggest question is, health-wise and everything else like that, is who is this utopia for? Is it for us?
No, it's not going to be a utopia. They're saying it's going to be utopia, but it's not. It's the Brave New World. The Brave New World. Basically, where we're being headed, where you're completely controlled, where you take a pill every day, where you're enslaved, you work, and then there's really free sex with anybody that you want, because that's what they're pushing. You know, they're pushing, you know, pedophilia is normal, it's not a sin. I mean, to think about all the stuff that they're pushing here that people are siding with. Oh, yeah, that sounds good, because I'd rather do that than be, arrested.
Diseases run rampant. The whole town would turn into the old zombie apocalypse, just like you saw in the monster movie, because you can't cram pack all them people together and expect that they're not going to share their colds or their diseases, sexually transmitted or otherwise. It's going to basically be a death bin is what it is. You're going to shove them all in there, and that's where they're going to die.
The people are going to be zombified because they're already being dumbed down and controlled by technology. Then they're going to all be on the pills or whatever, the blue pill, you know, because they got to take that pill every day. They're forced to take that pill every day. I'm talking about the Brave New World. If you want to see what this Agenda 2030 is looking like, you know, Google the movie Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Now, there was nobody could get pregnant because the fertility rates were like had dropped severely, which they are on their way now due to chemicals and so on and so forth. But they have incubated babies. They just create babies, you know, and they create, so they're like clones. This is in the movie. Now, there's something else going on in that movie where there are people outside of that system, outside of the controlled system, the government-controlled system, and they are called savages.
Yeah.
Now, the savages are people like you and me, Shaziz, and Patty and Barry, and probably a lot of people here on the chat. Okay, those savages, now, what did they call the Indian people who were close to the earth, who did not, you know, abide by the religious doctrines and dogma?
Savages.
They called them savages.
Yeah.
So they were outside the system, but they were called the savages, and they were scary because nobody understood them. Nobody got who are these people? They're not like us. We're here, and this is utopia. We're living in utopia, and those people out there are living on the earth in wild country, which is the real life. But they're called savages.
I feel like I've stepped into a 3D version of the movie Idiocracy, because I'm just seeing this and it's driving me nuts. I want so bad to jump into these conversations at the Senate and the Congress when they're talking about climate change and ask them the doggone questions. Look, you're sitting there saying we got a problem. You're sitting there saying we don't got a problem. And if everybody wants to meet in the middle, I'm saying we got a solution to all the problem, even if it doesn't exist. If you want to get serious about it, why are you sending $500 million over here? What have they done with that money? I mean, what benefit has the UN been to anybody on this planet? I mean, it seems like everywhere they go, things get worse. Is that just me, or is that tenfold?
No, it's not just you, but they're not interested in hearing what you have to say. I'm sorry to say that.
Well, I get it. I'm getting it. I'm seriously getting it. And that's what frustrates the heck out of me, because I hate hypocrisy. I hate when people sit around and they complain about something, and you offer them a solution. It's either too hard, unobtainable, or the government won't let me do it, or you can list on both.
All right,
hands.
Let's look at the reality. Let's look at what's really going on. We've talked about this. So there's brainwashing going on. It's for generations. The brainwashing system has been in place.
Well, it must have worked.
It is working. People are dumbed down. People can't think for themselves. There's no critical thinking. okay, basically there's a great percentage of people who are brainwashed and they don't even know it, okay? They've basically taken the pill in a way, you know. So when you speak to people, they look at you like you're an alien, you know, like you're a wacko, you know. They don't get it. They can't even comprehend what you're talking about because they're so brainwashed. They're so dumbed down. They're so controlled. They cannot think critically. And this was a part, of course, a part of the agenda. Now, they basically are going to exceed energy usage limits that are going to be set by our government. They're already talking about this. They're going to institute total surveillance of everybody. They're doing this now in order to track and calculate your energy consumption. That's smart meters. There's smart TVs. There's smart meters. There's smart houses. There's smart cars coming. Okay? They're going to have total surveillance of us. You're going to be penalized for your private vehicle ownership and force you into public transit, okay, where TSA grunts and facial recognition cameras can monitor and record your movements. Every person, just like in China, in our society, that's already here, folks, okay? But this is under Agenda 2030, Goal 13, of take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts, okay? So we're going to be surveilled, just like they are in China, okay? Surveillance of how your lifestyle, what your lifestyle is. Are you using the gas too much to heat up coffee? Well, you better stop heating up your coffee. You better stop cooking. You better stop having your lights on. You know, it's all about conserves and sustainable use of our oceans, our seas, the marine resources for the sustainable development to save the earth.
Can you hold the show for a second? I need to step out.
Yeah.
All right.
But what's really going to happen, guess what? Ban most ocean fishing, plunging the food supply into extreme shortage. Now, I want to say that ocean fishing is way over the top. It's way out of balance. So you have to find some balance here so that the fish can renew themselves, okay? I kind of agree with that, okay? But they're going to ban most ocean fishing, which is going to knock down the food supplies, but they're poisoning the fish, okay? So that's knocking down the food supply. You know, you're going to criminalize the operation of private fishing vessels and place all ocean fishing operations under the control of government central planning. This is for sustainability, folks. Only allow favored corporations to conduct these fishing operations. Make this decision based entirely on which corporations give the most campaign contributions. Yeah. So you have, I'm reading here in case you just came in, the United Nations 2030 agenda, the code information and translation behind the United Nations 2030 agenda goals, and I'm at goal 15. And goal 15, the UN says we want to protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests. We want to combat desertification and halt and reserve land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Now, that all sounds really good. Wouldn't you vote for that? Don't you like that? But here's the message, the translation behind this goal 15. Roll out Agenda 21/2030 now. Force humans off the land into controlled cities. Criminalize private land ownership, including ranches and agricultural tracts. Now, already the government, the federal government, is buying up land. And I think there's actually, that is against the law, our law, our constitutional law, I think, is for the federal government to buy up land. But people think that's wonderful because this is now state land where we can go tromping through the woods, where we can go camping. But that's going to soon be eliminated, okay? You're going to be forced off the land. You're not going to be allowed because you're destroying the forest. You're destroying the ecosystem, basically under that premise. There's going to be tightly controlled agricultural through a corporate corrupted government bureaucracy whose policies will determine almost entirely by Monsanto, while being rubber stamped by the USDA, they're gonna ban wood stoves, folks. They're gonna ban rainwater collection, which some states have. And they're gonna ban home gardening, which some states have, in order to criminalize self-reliance and force your total dependence on the government. That's Agenda 21, 2030. Here's Goal 16. Doesn't this sound good? They want to promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development. Again, there's that word, sustainable development. It all sounds good. They're going to provide access to justice for all. They're going to build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. But here's the hidden code. They're going to grant legal immunity to illegal aliens and protected minority groups, which will be free to engage in any illegal activity, including openly calling for the mass murder of police officers. Gee, have we recently heard something about that?
Yeah, it's like, like I said, I'm blown away. My mind is just completely and utterly blown away. If people can't see the writing on the wall by now, I'm starting to lose confidence that they ever will be able to see the writing on the wall. I get it. I understand. You know, you love the environment. So do we. We're talking about it. We love the environment. It's not about the environment. This is about basically getting control over everything, owning everything. But who does all this power consolidate into their hands? All right. This isn't in your hands. This isn't in my hands. This is in those supposed officials out there who are getting bought and paid for on a regular basis, and the science community, whether or not they are, burying their head in the sand in order to keep their gravy train going or whatever, or the fact that they're fearful that they'll lose their job or anything, or maybe even possibly their life. I mean, there's been tons of holistic doctors that just up and disappeared when they were trying to talk about natural medicines and stuff, you know. And
well, you have the holistic doctors, you have the ones who are talking about free energy, you have the ones who are against vaccinations, you know. I mean, it's across the board, the people who are standing up to help, really help, and give real solutions are being disappeared, suicided, right, taken down, and or so threatened that they just shut up.
That's it. And the day that I just up and just disappear out of nowhere, look, if I'm fixing to quit, I'll tell you ahead of time. I'll flat out tell
you. Well, I know that's not who you are. I know that you would fight tooth and nails, and you're not giving up. And I basically am the same way. I can't stop. I've thought about it.
So if you and I just up and disappear right out of the blue, then people are listening in, you know there was something screwy going on. That's what I'm trying to say.
We were kidnapped, taken off planet for the breakaway civilization.
Yeah.
That's where we headed out. So I'm just going to finish this up. And I think this was important to revisit, get more clarity on what this... What the sustainability that the UN is talking about, that is now infiltrating into many of the states and cities and small towns, already they're pushing this sustainable process. But it's really about total enslavement. Now they're saying by 2030, the plans, total enslavement by 2030. We're going to see where this is taking us, because there's a circumstance here that we've been talking about with the new wave, the awakening, the great awakening, dark into light, through Q and through the Anons and the Patriots and the people who are seeking to eliminate and basically destroy the deep state, the evil peoples that are doing stuff and have been doing stuff all along. And President Donald Trump is involved in this with Q and taking down the pedophiles. He did do a presidential signing of that one of his first things that he did, and I see that happening. And there's other things that he has done, like changing this Betsy DeVos's defunding, you know, of these games for the handicapped people. He was like shocked about that. He said, "No, I'm absolutely going to fund that." So there's the kind of a strange little thing there, because everybody was saying, the news, the mainstream media news was saying Donald Trump's administration is defunding the Olympic Games for the handicapped people. Of course, but he didn't know anything about it. Now he said, absolutely not. I will fund this. I will fund this. I mean, you can look that up. That's what he said, but you won't see that in the mainstream media. Okay, so we've talked about this. Where are we really going? Where are we really heading? I've always felt that if anybody says to me, I'm the savior, I have all the answers, you know, those authoritarian people who do that, I say, run the other way. Nobody's going to save us. The only savior that I feel strongly about that I want to listen to is my great spirit creator. Okay, no human being, I feel, has the capacity, because, let's face it, human beings have faults, you know?
Yep.
And one of those faults is, so you have people in these high positions with a lot of money, corporate-minded people, who like gold, and that's Donald Trump, who likes gold and wants to win and wants to be king, saying that they're going to take out the, clean the swamp out and take out, down all the evil. Well, I see some of that evil is being taken down, but I still question, where are we really going? Because there are very serious signs and clues that I'm looking at, and now Trump said he's going to take the United States involvement out of the United Nations. Has he done that yet? I don't know, but that means that he said that we will never be a socialist country. To me, that's a good thing, you know, but is that true? So I'm looking at this agenda here, Agenda 2030, supposedly coming, the whole planet. We're talking about one world religion, government slash, you know, of the whole world. But you got to read the full document. And if you can read beyond, this is the point, read beyond the fluffery and the public relations phrases, because you'll quickly realize that the UN agenda is going to be forced upon all the citizens of the world through the invocation of government coercion, and that's through the United Nations. And the United Nations is now becoming a corporate-run institution, basically, and a lot of the money given or donations or funding brought into the United Nations for purposes of your regular people who are really suffering, the people never get it. The people never receive this help. So what does that tell you? You know.
Well, it tells me that somebody out there can afford to build an army because they're getting $500 million under false pretenses, and that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what they probably already got, and that comes out of the pockets of the taxpayers. Look, you, every time you turn around, there's somebody trying to tax you for something, somebody trying to fine you for something over and over and over again. And it's just to me, it's ridiculous. It is beyond ridiculous. It's ludicrous that the people of this world continue to tolerate what's going on. Look, if you're worried the planet's going to end in 12 years, then let's get together. Let's fix it. It's that simple. All right? Well, I ain't got no money to fix it. You don't need no money. Pass some links. Pass some information. Share some podcasts. Get some people motivated to come together. I got a dollar in my pocket. You got a dollar in your pocket. Together, that makes $2, and we'll see what we can get done with $2. But there's all kinds of resources available out there that, you know, people throw trash in their trash. I read a comment in there earlier, somebody saved something out of a dumpster dive, and I think that might have been May that said that, but it's in the People for People chat room. But there are tons of wasted materials that are thrown away, and if we got together with our tools and started building things that we could put out there that everyone could see with their own two eyes, look, this works, then they would start questioning the government. You know, if it's sitting there right there and they can understand that they too could build it if they decided to, then it, That's why these inventors out here keep coming up missing all the time. Because anytime they get close to something that worked, suddenly something bad happens to them, or they get bought off or whatever. They're not going to be able to pay me off. They're not going to be able to buy me off. I'm not gonna give up, you know. And they can threaten my life and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've been around for 53 years, going on 54, and I had a pretty fruitful life, so I'm not worried about that. But what I am worried about is the lie continuing long after I'm gone, affecting my children and my grandchildren, and making them live in a world like we just heard from that Agenda 2030 or whatever. I don't want my children having to be forced into things like that. I don't want them to be forced into having a chip so that they can get some food in their belly if they need it. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about people starving babies over in other countries while governments are spending millions, if not trillions, of dollars every doggone second of every day doing stupid stuff. And you got politicians like that one on knucklehead on there talking about the new Green Deal, Green New Deal. Where's that person whenever I'm sitting there telling them the solution's already on the table? All you got to do is pick it up and run with it. I don't hear them repeating anything that I'm talking about, any of these solutions. I don't hear them repeating anything. All I hear them repeating is the Mockingbird propaganda that they were indoctrinated in for all the way from grade school all the way up into college. They don't teach real science anymore. They teach a lie. And that lie is what is tearing humanity apart. We can't even be white anymore. We can't even be black or yellow or red or anything. We can't even be that without being labeled either a racist for not agreeing with something somebody said. And it don't matter which subject it is. If you talk out against thorns in the bottom of your flip-flops, then you're a racist. And I know that sounds ludicrous, but listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to the words coming out of their mouth. And it's over and over and over again. And whenever I sit here and listen to these folks arguing about climate change, climate disruption, global warming, whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up, and I'm sitting there telling them, and I'm trying to contact these people and say, look, there's a solution, there's a solution, there's a solution. I'm not to be heard because I don't have the label. I don't have the big documentation or the white coat necessary, and I'm not willing to bend to a lie in order to be able to get the truth out there. I'm going to tell the truth one way or another. I'm going to do it. And if I say something, you can best believe you could test it, because I've researched it. And that's real science. Real science is mad science. That's why I had this shirt made up. Said that mad science was the key to truth about free energy. Ask me why. I've had multiple people have conversations with me, and the things that I told them, you could see that they were like, wow. You know? And if you could only get that information out to the masses of people through that wall of indoctrination, that's the key. Because without each of all of us out here pulling our resources together and helping each other out, we're going to fail. We're going to allow this system to do exactly what she just explained to about what the real true agenda is. And I'm not willing to lay down to evil. I refuse to do so. And so I'm going to keep on doing what I do. That's what the Mad Science Show is all about. But we have all the solutions necessary. If you want clean, renewable, alternative energy, if you want a super efficient machinery, then pay attention. We have what we need. The only thing that holds any of these researchers, including myself, back is the funds in order to pay people to come out of that doggone indoctrination long enough to actually use that skill set to build something to show everybody what you're saying is no longer theoretical. It's a proven object sitting right there that works and functions just like it was explained. Now, you imagine that $500 million in the hands of some trusted individuals that you pulled to the table. You don't know nothing about science. Alright, you don't know nothing about mechanics or anything like that, but you're a good speaker. You go out and you talk to people and you say, look, I know this guy over here who's really good at that, and I know this guy over here is really good at that. Is there any chance that we can get you guys together? And we even actually have pulled together funds in order to pay you for your time to bring those brilliant talents to the table. You put me in the machine shop with the right dream team, and I guarantee you, you will get what you paid for. You put the money into the government's hands, and you hear from that podcast that I played at the beginning of the show, you don't know where that money's going. They didn't even know. It wasn't even approved by Congress and still got sent to the same doggone thing. So they have loopholes in order to get what they want when they want it. Except the wall to separate the terrorists from the people or whatever. I ain't saying everybody come across that border is a terrorist. There's a lot of good people trying to get here because their countries are a mess. But if we know that their country is a mess, and we have things and ideas and ways to help them make their country better, they might want to stay there with their people. They might want to make their country great. You see what I'm saying? And that's why I get frustrated and stand up on what my friend calls a soapbox. I find that one of the most degrading things that I've ever heard anybody say to me, because I don't think that I'm sitting up here, you know, ranting and raving and soapbox. And I think I'm sitting up here pleading to my fellow brothers and sisters around the world to resolve something that we have the power to do so. You watch the government's actions. Their track record speaks for themselves. They will talk for months. They will talk for years. They will talk for decades. And they will accomplish nothing. Absolutely nothing. They'll finally get around to taking a vote. Meanwhile, they're still going about their business happily ever after, eating caviar and lobster and fancy wines and fancy restaurants, riding around in limousines and having the notoriety, I'm a senator, I'm a congressman, and you're nobody. OSHA's don't get to talk to the president. If I could talk to the president, put him in the room with me for 2 hours. Give me 2 hours with that man. And I guarantee you, he'll come out of there a changed man. Without a doubt. Because facts speak for themselves. And I can prove every single thing that I say. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying it. Because credibility is like when my grandfather told me that your word is like gold. You give a man your word, you keep it. Otherwise, it's almost impossible to get trust back. And this government, we don't trust. These media outlets, we don't trust. And even the ones we semi-trust, we're still skeptical because they still have a foothold in the industrial and the economical side of things up there in the money people. You think these folks on TV ain't sitting in $500,000 or higher homes while telling you reduce your carbon footprint? No. Yeah, they're not living there. They're not eating peanut butter sandwiches or butter sandwiches and split pea soup. They're eating the good stuff. They're not eating the GMOs. They're not sitting there drinking fluoridated water. They've got massive filtration systems. If that filtration system's good enough for the elitist of the world, it's good enough for that poor child over in what they like to classify as a third world country. That third world country phrase just angers me to my very core, because those children over there are just as good as the man that you're listening to right now. They're just as valuable. And every single other person out there in the war-torn zones, they want to have a home, they want to have a family, they want to have a job, they want to be able to live with dignity and pride in themselves, in their countries, in each other. And what we do is we allow ourselves to be complacent. We allow ourselves to just say, oh, well, we'll go along to get along. Well, how well has that got us? Is the world fixed? Is it getting any cleaner? And if you're driving down the road and you think it's okay just to chuck your trash out the window into somebody's yard, or even just off to the side of the road in general, you just threw valuable resources out the window. You just made it worse for everybody else. And you go to the beach and you don't want to pick up your own trash, you just made it worse for everybody else. And we haven't even got into the wildlife section of it. Because you think those fish want to swim in your garbage? You think those children in the so-called third world countries want to go pick through your garbage just so that they can earn a living? So that they can have food in their belly? And it never ends. It never ends. These corporations and these companies, they don't care what they throw in the trash. And even if things are good, they will actually tear things up at grocery stores or even department stores. They'll shred clothes so that when you go dig in the trash, it's worthless. They don't want you digging in their trash. They want you to come purchase it. But if you're poor and you can't afford it, and they threw it out in the trash, then what's wrong with you having it? That's the kind of mentality I come from. And that's why I get so cotton-picking angry whenever I hear all this craziness going on. These governments and these politicians, they do not care. The bankers, they do not care. They will take your house from you, resell it to somebody else, while all the time had an insurance policy in case you didn't pay. They collected on the insurance policy for the full amount of the loan. They got to resell it. They got to repeat and repeat as many times as somebody could not afford that home. And then you wonder why you got homeless veterans out there in this world? You got wonder why that there are fancy restaurants that call the police on the man that's trying to feed the homeless? Because it's not profitable to have somebody out there giving away free food to those who are hungry when that person should get a job and come in there and buy their product. That's the disgust that we live in. And I'm sorry if I'm offensive to people out there, because it's not my heart's intention to be offensive to you. But when I got to tell it, I got to tell it as it's the truth, because it's gospel to me in my heart. Barbara, you still around or did I run you off?
No, I'm still here. I'm just listening to the passion that you have. And I'm, you know what, I feel like, well, you're preaching to the choir.
I know.
You know, and I am too. And not to be offensive to people listening to us on these chats, because I know they're not that type of people that we're talking about, you know. But it's like, okay, I guess the passion is really strong about the wrongs and the, you know, the despair that is obvious and doesn't have to be. And when, you know, this whole thing about the political arena, the governments, the political people, the Senate, the Congress, and the presidencies, you know, you're right, and I have said this too. Think about it. Has anything changed? Things have gotten worse.
Yep.
You know, in all the years, you know, I mean, things went downhill when Kennedy was taken out. You know, and that's going to come out, by the way, what happened. A lot of things are going to come out about what really happened on 9/11, about what really happened to Kennedy, and various other things that stunned us and shocked us about, you know, buildings being exploded and violations and various murders and things that have been going on that seemed like just a random happening. Even shooters, even massacres and wars. I mean, these things seem like to us, oh, that's just a random thing that happened, you know, and this is why it happened, and we're told why it happened, but I have to say, I have really realized and discovered that everything that has happened, not only here in our country, but in the world, has been connected. Okay, there's something going on, that these are all connected. There's all something behind them. There's a particular reason and purpose for all these things. And you know, you can call me a conspiracy wackadoodle. I am. But there are factions, there are pockets and groups of people who we call them the elite or the club. We will never be in that club, but they set themselves up to be at the top of the pyramid, to gain everything, to manipulate everything so that they could gain more. And I'm talking the everything. I mean war. I mean murders. I mean assassinations. I mean things that we have experienced throughout history that may seem to us just a random occurrence, but they are not a random. They are all connected, and they thread very deep. The tentacles go very deep into a particular group of people. You know, again, the club. We will never be in that club. I guess there's people that realize that, you know, that they're all buddies, they're all in this club, and they have control and power, and they know the psychological warfare. They know how to manipulate minds. They have the technology to do that. They have the media to do that. They have the poisons to do that, you know, and it's hard and really difficult for, I guess, a percentage of people to look at this and say, yeah, that is real, that is fact, because who in their right mind wants to accept this as real?
That's because they don't want out of their comfort zone.
Well, it's like you can't, well, there's the comfort zone piece, basically, and then there's the incomprehensibility of actually accepting these facts that there are evil human beings on this earth that would stoop to such atrocities for their and their own gain.
Yep.
For their people, their club, their little bloodline, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I understand that we're preaching to the choir, but I do these podcasts, and I say I'm pretty sure for the same reason that you do, in hopes that they will hear, that other people out there that never even got a chance of hearing this message or anything like that, I'm just hoping they'll hear the message. I'm throwing it out there. I'm shouting all four points of the compass, shouting from a mountain, so to speak, because I'm wanting the people out there to hear. And the only way, our chat rooms right now should be so cram-packed. All right? There should be people in there discussing about things and solving things, but it says not secure on People for People Radio. It says not secure on ShazizRadio.com. And so people are afraid to come here. I mean, we're like
well,
the dark
web.
Well,
I'm going to say I agree with you, but there's a majority of people that want fantasy. They want a show. They want to be entertained. Like May says, good for you, May. Thank you. She says, I don't want truth anymore. I want truth revealed.
Yep.
I think it's a mindset, so I changed the intent. And good for you. Thank you.
I agree. I want the truth out there. I want to lay it all on the table. There's folks saying, well, you can't handle the truth. Like, yeah, I can handle it. I've been waiting for it for 53 years. But I got to get it
done.
Well,
the thing is, truth is being revealed, but are people paying attention? Huh. All right? I mean, we're talking about it, I think, truth. And if you can do your research, yeah, truth is there. It's right in your face, but you do have to do research. But you know what? Only those who do research are the ones who are interested in wanting the truth revealed. Okay? You're going to, like the couch potatoes or the comfort zone people, they're not interested in the truth being revealed. Basically, they have no critical thinking. They want to stay in their comfort zone. They don't want to be affected. They don't want to feel, they don't want this the disturbing stuff that they have to then deal with and get out of their comfort zone, stand up, step out, and do something.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. The truth is revealed. It is there, right in your face, but there are people that can look at or hear us or hear others who are speaking the truth and not comprehend it at all.
Well, I can get that too. And I don't expect those folks that can't really comprehend to really be able to do nothing. But, you know, with every major situation, it's usually a minority amount of people who resolve the issue. You know, it's not like we
but
need...
you know what? We're looking like we're getting close to the end of this show. I can't believe it. But I want to talk about... May just brought up intention. And let's talk a little bit about that, because intention has a power. Intention is really strong and powerful. So I think that we have to change. Like she said, she changed her intention. I agree with that. We're talking about this stuff. We're talking about the difficult stuff. We're talking about what we see happening right under our noses as an agenda 2030, basically to enslave everybody and take away our freedoms and our rights. We see them incrementally happening. I mean, we just see things going on like in New Zealand, you know, what happened there. Now the prime minister's, you know, put a law out. Yeah, well, whatever, start with the AK-47s. Well, I agree. Nobody needs these types of weapons, but that's just the first step. The next step, basically, is to really take away our ability to protect ourselves and our families. And this is part of the Agenda 21. And they're talking about we're destroying the world, global warming. Well, now they have a solution. Okay, so the solution is been going on. It's the chemtrailing. It's basically putting up a chemical shield around the Earth. Now it's okay because the Harvard scientist said he's got the solution. let's change our intention. Let's put that out energetically, because we're looking at, always talking about, the most important thing in my estimation is frequency. And I was watching some videos last night about various persons who are in the, I guess you want to say more out there in the mainstream media, I mean not the mainstream, but out there in the alternative media, excuse me, like Linda Moulton Howe and David Icke and so on, and even Jordan Maxwell and various other persons. I was looking at a video where these people were being interviewed, and they're all pretty much saying the same thing, and pretty much identical. David Icke, I thought David Icke must be listening to me on People for People, on the Turtle and Crow show, because I've been talking about frequency, working with frequencies and understanding the power of the frequency, the power of the love frequency and compassion frequency to change things. And I thought I said, wow, David Icke looks like he's been listening to Turtle and Crow show. And Patty was laughing. She said, yeah, he said exactly what you've said. And I see this more happening. So our words, and this is what I'm pointing out here, Shiz, is our words are making an impact. All right, it's a collective frequency that we are putting out, and that's our intention. So let's put out the collective frequency of positive solutions and information that can make the change. And people are receiving this information, and they are speaking about it. Now, I'm pretty sure David Icke has not been listening to People for People, Turtle and Crow show. But I'm looking at this as I notice more and more how these persons who are speaking out there on this alternative information are utilizing the words and the information that we are putting out.
I've seen that too, so I get it. Yeah, well, folks, we are down there to the wire. After the Mad Science Show, stay tuned for Music with Care Hour. But Barbara, I'm really glad you showed up here today. I wanted your perspective in here as well, because we both love this Earth, And I'm saying, I may sound like an environmental terrorist because I'm always getting riled up about global warming and climate change, but it's the lie that's behind it that gets me riled up. If it's based on science and you have solutions available to you, or whatever, or you're just not wanting to listen to solutions, there's got to be some sort of balance in there. How are we ever supposed to get in harmony with nature if nobody's ever even paying attention to how nature does things? Part of science is observation. You can observe nature. You can see how nature filters water. We know how to clean water up. I mean, otherwise, you wouldn't have these companies out there making trillions on water filtration systems. But who's dirtying up the water? Is it just the governments? Is it the corporations? Or is it a little bit of a responsibility to go all the way across the board there? If you throw stuff in your own trash, you throw your own trash in your own ditch or whatever, and the rains, that's going to wash downstream. It's going to get into your lakes and so on, work its way out to the ocean. It's going to be big old giant floating piles of trash out in the ocean, which we see here on what we call the internet. It's there. I'm saying there's a valuable resource out there that can be reused, that we could clean this mess up. There are solutions available. There's, for every single problem out there under the sun, there's a solution. And everything that we need to survive, we've been gifted. We are probably by far the most, however you figure we got here, we are the most blessed beings in the existence of time. And right now, we are squandering what could have otherwise been such an amazing journey to see how far that we could actually go. And to literally take what would have been a rough start and learn from our mistakes and make this world so much better. I still believe we can bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. I believe if we start doing what we do here on the show on a large scale, that we can send out positive energies to everybody. There is a reason why I keep saying throwing a positive pebble in the pond. You know, that one ripple, it goes out to everybody. Everyone yeah. who's in here. You know, all of us. So, Barbara, you got any last words of wisdom before we get up out of here?
Well, I got some last words. You know, I feel very positive, even though we go through this stuff that's we need to know. Okay, it's disturbing, but you know what? We need to know. What are we here for? I think we all came here to participate. We have to question ourselves, how am I participating? Am I participating in a good way, or am I adding to the crap? Because that's in our hands. I do believe that we are in a spiritual battle. Not only the spirit within ourselves, but is on a greater, the greater picture here, the bigger picture. And I will say, again, I do believe this is about the soul, about the light, the spirit light within us, and that there is a battle about that. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that there are entities and those of other forms, you know, that are interested in our ability, our capacity to be powerful in that light, the frequency. Okay, they are beings of frequency as well, but they're negative frequencies. There are positive and negatives, and my intention is to be in the positive frequency arena by being compassionate and being loving and sharing what I can to hopefully make a difference. I believe in prayer. I believe in ceremony and the way, the power of ceremony in a good way through prayer. I've seen miracles happen. I believe in miracles. I know we have the ability and the capacity to manifest and create change as a miracle in the most extraordinary way, but it's up to us and how we participate with that. We came here to do a job. What is the job? How are you participating? So I have great faith and a good strong foundation in my spiritual connectedness, and as I said, I have seen many miracles, and I believe in that, and I believe the light is stronger than the dark, but I do see clearly that there is a battle between these two frequencies, the light vibration and the dark vibration, and we need balance, okay? We need a balance with that. Because things have been out of balance for so long, and yes, there are those of human or maybe non-human that are messing things up, and they're either sold their soul to the devil, or they're just downright messed up and evil, and I'm probably thinking on they're both that way. There's those possibilities. So I do say we are in a spiritual battle. I'm not the only one. And I do say and believe in the frequency of love and compassion and kindness, because that is a power unknown to us but extraordinary that can change things, that can change this world, that can change our personal experience. It is in our hands here at this timeline, which is awesome. It's a time of prophecy, people, and the battle of the dark and the light is nothing new. We've been here before, but this is a different, this is a different arena. This is quite serious here because things have been out of balance for so long. But I have great faith, and I do believe that ultimately all things will harmonize and balance and come out to be for the good. And let's not give up. And I will never give up, and I know you won't. Yep. I am determined because I have this strong belief.
I agree.
And thank you for this time to spend here with you. I didn't plan on getting in. I was just popping you.
I'm glad you did. Really, look, I feel like sometimes I feel like the coach/mad science professor sitting on the sidelines of the game, shouting, putting me in. You know, let's get this thing done because it's driving me nutty. So
I think our words, like I said, the collective consciousness is a frequency. And I think the more we build that frequency of help, support, joy, unity, that is a power, and that is touching people. And I hear people even using my favorite word, interstand. People that I don't even know, suddenly they're using the word interstand, right?
Cool.
And suddenly they're talking about frequency. Suddenly they're talking about the key is the frequency. You know, the key is the frequency of love, of compassion, of kindness. I hear people, strangers, talking about this, so I'm thinking, okay, this is working. That's my intent, is that our words be unified and good and loving and compassionate, not to ignore what is really happening. We need to know what we are up against. I do believe that if you are in a spiritual battle, which we all are, nobody's outside of this. If you are here on the planet in this moment in time, you are in a spiritual battle, folks.
Yep.
And so you want to prepare yourself for that battle by shining your light, by being compassionate, by saying kind words. If you can't say something kind, don't say something at all.
Yep.
If you can't be supportive and put out some good words and positive things, don't speak. If you can't do that, don't speak then.
I agree, and we got to go. My intent is simple, to balance out the scales. I was born under the astrological sign.
Good.
Astrological sign of Libra. If you look it up, it's the scales, and I want the justice across the board.
Well, thank you for being here today, Shaziz, and thank you for inviting me on, and thank everybody in the chat rooms wherever you are.
Thank you, people, and everybody else listening in. Share this podcast, please, and thank you. Peace and love, everybody. Take care. Stay tuned for the Music with Kara Hour. Peace and love. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends.
You got a laptop.
I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
You got a laptop.
There it is.
You got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.